you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hej, det här är Victoria Silvstedt. Jag är Playboys Playmate of the Year 97. Och du lyssnar Kevin and Bean och den världsberömda K-Rock.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
I think, I think L.A. need to have another motherfucking riot so people wake the fuck up. Because I'm sick of that shit.
He's a black guy, isn't he?
Black is the night itself.
Hey, children, that's not cool. You don't make fun of somebody because of their ethnicity.
You don't?
You see, it's not okay to make fun of an American because they're black, brown, or whatever, but it is okay to make fun of foreigners because they're from another country.
Let's let it breathe. You don't create a fine wine and then drink it right out of the grape bucket.
That will be definitely uncool.
Wait, you're at the studio. Never mind.
And now, open wide for Chunky.
Why, thank you, Doctor.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Tuesday, the 10th of Aprilingus.
Indeed.
What's happening, party people?
Not much.
Gotta pay Dave $10.
Really?
Yeah.
Another Clipper wager?
Well, it wasn't Clippers, it was Lakers, but, you know, Lakers lost. Here's the thing about this team. I hope they pretty much blow everybody out because we have arguably the best player in the NBA.
True.
I mean, there are a couple other people that people think might should be the MVP, but there's no other player that you could go, we need you to score 50 tonight.
And he goes, and he all right.
Okay, I'll go out and do that. He has that option.
Yeah.
And we're in, seventh place, just barely holding on, and only because the Clippers are also losing. Well, but what? Well, how bad does the rest of the team have to be?
I agree with you more. I mean, this is Psycho Mike. I'm a Kobe apologist, and I'm biased. I'm a Laker fan.
Me too.
I mean, always been a huge Laker fan, so I make excuses. But if you really look at it objectively, take away Steve Nash from Phoenix, take away Nowitzki from Dallas, there's still going to be a pretty good basketball team.
You know why?
You take away Kobe Bryant from the Lakers, they're going to win 10 games this
year.
That's
what I'm saying.
The most impactful player.
That's why we need to get rid of them. Steve Nash has people he can pass to who will make a bucket.
Right. I mean, Kobe legitimately runs the basketball game for the Lakers. So,
he does. He can carry them on his shoulders. And the fact that they still are in seventh place trying desperately to not make the playoffs, you think they get together beforehand and go, look, it's been a long season.
I have a vacation planned.
I don't know. I'm thinking of Cabo. Playoffs are just another couple of games. Nobody is thinking that the Lakers are going to go all the way. I wish they would, of course, but the Lakers going all the way would be a Cinderella story at this point.
Yeah.
Because everybody else sucks so bad. Oh, God.
That being said, though, you put the Lakers in the East, they're number one seed.
Well, the East blows.
Yeah.
But we're in the West, so you got your Dallas, and you got your San Antonio, and you got your Phoenix, and everyone else above us. But anyway, just had to get that off my chest. Best scorer in the NBA can't win games.
Well, it's not just one guy's job, right?
No,
well,
that's need four others.
A lot of teams that have one guy, and it's not enough to get him anywhere. By the way, in a lot of sports, you know.
I hope they keep Bynum and maybe one or two other guys, and then they just... I wonder if they can just do a wholesale just trade. Just unload everyone. Everybody's for sale. Who wants them? Come and get them. All right, anyway. Hopefully Dave won't be here today, so I won't have to pay.
Oh, there you go.
That's the best way to do it.
That's a possibility, from what I understand, by the way.
Yes,
Dave will not be here today. So, yeah. Lisa, I was cursing your name last night.
Why?
Cursing your name.
Oh, were you watching Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, I was.
Why? Why were you cursing Lisa? You were watching.
It's I wasn't watching by choice, I'll tell you that. It was the first time I have seen a second of it this season, and you know what the next part of this sentence is. It's because my wife was watching it.
Right.
And you don't have any other rooms in the house?
Not if I want to eat dinner, I don't. She made dinner and said, hey, we're watching Dancing with the Stars. And I said, I got to go over there and meet a guy about a thing. And she said, okay, then don't eat. So I ended up watching Dancing with the Stars. And I had no idea, first of all. Was last night an hour and a half show, Lisa?
The last few have been, yeah.
Oh, my God. I was thinking, you know, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, well, I can make it to the top of the hour. I mean, it's only like 20 more minutes. And then it keeps going. And then it keeps going. And then it keeps going. The freaking thing's an hour and a half long.
When did they start making them longer?
I don't know.
I guess it's like American Idol, where they have a lot of contestants at the beginning, so they need a lot of time. And then the show gets shorter as you drop people off.
Oh, I
because
see.
They show, yeah. They'll show clips from last week's dance of each of the people, and then they'll show the rehearsals.
Wow. Training.
I personally enjoy the rehearsal part. I think that's kind of fun.
It is, well, I can't really say it's unwatchable because I watched it, but it is so much worse than I ever imagined that it could be. I had no idea it was that big a waste of time. I had no idea all the judges were gay and annoying. I had no idea, Psycho Mike, that Randy Couture came on to help Lisa Gibbons train from the UFC.
No,
I had no idea
didn't.
That happened. Yes.
No.
Last night.
Randy Couture, UFC.
Yes.
No
yes.
way.
Now, see, I didn't see last night yet because I watch it the way you should, which is I TiVo it and then it takes me 20 minutes.
You just fast forward
through. I just watch the rehearsals and the dancing.
I had no idea that Clyde the Glide Drexler, NBA Hall of Famer, it looks like he's about 100 and really isn't even trying. I mean, he walks like an old guy walks. I mean, every dance he does is exactly the same, and he's walking more than he is dancing. And doesn't really seem to care. Really isn't even trying and doesn't really care.
I'm sorry, I just want to go back a second. Did you say Randy Couture from the UFC was on Dancing with the Stars?
Why him?
I don't know. They I don't
That's
know the names.
That's a tough mother effer right there. A guy who's in the UFC that goes on Dancing with the Stars because he knows, what are you going to do, make fun of me?
I mean, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is on it every week.
He is?
Yeah. He and Guillermo, I guess, do a bit on tonight's show, the Tuesday show. They do a bit. But, you know, at least he straddles all worlds. I mean, Jimmy does a lot of things, you know. But Randy, it was a shock to me. Lisa Gibbons was doing some dance, and Lisa, I don't know the names of all the dance, but it's like called the Pase Roble or something.
Oh, you know I don't know that one. No,
I'm an expert at that.
It's the Spanish like bullfighter dance. Okay. They do it every season. So anyway, so she has to be tough, and she has to be, you know, I guess she has to be macho or something. So they bring him in, and he teaches her how to be tough.
Oh my God!
Come on,
and she's 50-year-old Lisa Gibbons TV talk show host.
Did he punch her?
I don't think so. I think he trained her a little.
Did he teach her to punch anyone else?
But it's just, it's so astonishingly bad, this show. I mean, when you're watching, you know, Peg Leg waltz, you're thinking, what is going on? How is this show popular? And it is.
How did she do?
It's top 10.
I can't tell. I thought all of them sucked. I thought every one of them sucked. And then some of them got high marks and some of them got low marks. And I couldn't tell the difference between any of them.
Well, compared to
your... you don't watch it every week.
No, compared to Bean's ability in the ballroom.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody kind of pales.
Well,
you think Clyde Drexler is bad? You see Bean out there trying to dance. Oh, that would be funny.
That show blows.
It really does.
I mean,
like
it.
I said, it's the first time I'd seen it this year, and I was shocked. You know, it's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to see it and then realize that's the show that's in the top five every week. It was eye-opening, I'll tell you that. But I managed to get out with dessert before The Bachelor.
So oh, at least, my God.
Okay, I don't even watch that.
At least the whole night wasn't a complete wash.
You've got some bad TV going on in your house.
I guess that's what, you know, I don't have any shows on Monday night. I got nothing I watch on Mondays. So I guess I guess Mondays are for the ladies or something.
I have 24. That's on Mondays.
Isn't The Riches on Mondays?
I think it is. I don't know. That's one I record too.
Bean, so you're not watching that?
Sunday.
I don't watch either of those.
Oh,
no.
You should. So good.
24 lost even me, though, Bean. Lost me.
Really?
Even.
Finally just got kind of dull?
Well, I'm not dull, just ridiculous. I'm a guy who wants to believe in 24, and I know that it's ridiculous, and I know that they have to make it ridiculous. I mean, everybody is involved in the cover-up and everything else, all the way up to the highest level. So this year, they try to assassinate the president because he won't attack the Middle East with nukes. And
damn him.
And so they attack him, and he's in a coma, and the vice president comes in, and he's going to attack the Middle East with nukes. That's why they did it, so the vice president could take over. So then they say, oh, we got to bring the president out of his coma. Oh, but it might kill him. Yeah, but he's got to stop this. So he comes out of his coma and he stops them from you know, firing on the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
And then kind of at the end of last week's episode, just decides to just turn around and go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and bomb the president now. The
guy who's really?
Just out of the blue changes his policy entirely.
And bombs.
And launches the missiles.
Damn.
And you just go, wait a minute, that was the guy who his whole career was saying we need to get away from this.
Right.
And then his whole presidency was about that. And then they tried to kill him for it. And now he launched the missiles. That's what you're telling me.
I started watching it at the beginning of the season because of your enthusiasm, because I had watched it the first year. And I got through, and then it went on hiatus, and I just never climbed back on again. I don't know.
But it was good, wasn't it?
It was.
Remember
but
when they...
somehow I just... Like the big blast in
yeah, that was cool.
Valencia or whatever. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm still on board, but that one was like just a giant punch right in the face from the TV show.
Yeah.
Hey, a-holes, look, we know that we're asking you to stretch your imagination, but boom, right in the face. I didn't watch it. Omar says last night they explained it. It was awesome. So maybe they explained why he fired the nukes or something.
Maybe he didn't really fire.
I didn't see last night yet, but I'll
maybe
watch.
His family was being held hostage. It was one of those kind of deals where he had to do it. He didn't want to or something.
I'm still out of breath from last week. That's a rough one. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Right.
Yesterday, we played, is Kevin smarter than a fifth grader?
Turned out he is, or as smart as.
I actually see, that's the thing about this game. If you win, I was undefeated yesterday, and yet that still only makes me as smart as a fifth grader. You know what?
How proud can you be, right?
The upside is not there. Yeah. There's only a downside. Well, Lisa didn't know three of the questions, so today is Lisa smarter than a fifth grader?
I think I only knew one answer.
Really?
The moose question.
Oh, the plural of moose?
Yeah. I think that's the only one I knew. This is going to be sad.
I'm a pretty good test taker, though, and there are those kind of questions where they only ask it because it's unique.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, they wouldn't ask it if it was a normal plural. They ask it only that way because it's the same word, moose.
I've never watched the TV show, but don't they have multiple choice?
I don't know. I've never watched it either. I don't watch the show either. But you don't get multiple choice, woman.
I want multiple choice.
Nope. I don't recall.
You don't get multiple choice.
I didn't get it.
Sean Connery's talking about coming back to Indiana Jones. We'll tell you about that. We'll tell you about a new DVD that comes out today, which is spectacular. We have Death Pool Dave coming up in about a half hour.
Very excited about that.
Guy, most people know what death pools are, but this is where you bet on who's going to die next, what celebrity's going to die next. And this guy's name is Deathpool Dave. He says he makes tens of thousands of dollars doing this.
Unbelievable.
Apparently he's good. Apparently, and I want to talk to him about technique because, you know, depending on the pool you're in, I mean, does it make sense to go for the easy marks, the Larry Bud Melmans of the world, the guys who are in their 80s, or do you risk it all and go for the, you know, Anna Nicole Smiths, you know, go for the youngsters that are less likely.
Because then when the long shot pays off, you win.
You get big dough, big points. Yeah, exactly. There are so many of these death pools. I was doing a little bit of research yesterday. It's unbelievable. You Bet Their Life is one. Cashforcadavers.com is one.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
There's so many of them. I mean, apparently, I mean, if this guy, we'll talk to him about this, but if this guy's good, there's no reason why he couldn't be playing 10 games at the same time, you know?
Honey, you were on our website now?
Yes.
What's it called? Death for Cadavers. Oh, great. Good luck with that. Joe Rogan is going to be in the studio as well.
Oh.
Got a new CD called Shiny Happy Jihad, which is very funny.
Mike showered. Mike shaved.
Oh, yeah.
He's ready.
He looks good.
So he's going to be in the studio this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next.
Talk to our new friend Deathpool Dave coming up after the news at 6. Ooh, I hope Doc is on his list. Wouldn't it be awesome if we found out he had Doc?
Yeah.
Famous people get on this list, though, right?
Bean says that. Yeah, it's celebrities.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How's Doc going to be on this?
Doc doesn't count? Yeah, no. Probably not. All right, it's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the show this week. Morning, Ralph.
Congratulations to one of our favorite TV stars, John C. McGinley, of the very entertaining and popular TV show Scrubs. E! Online says that John C. McGinley got married over the weekend in Malibu. Married his yoga instructor, Nicole Kessler.
Oh,
let me tell you something.
Potential.
If you have to pick a career... If you're just going to pick a mate on career alone,
right,
and you're a dude,
mm-hmm,
go with aerobics instructor.
Aerobics or yoga? Either one, right?
Oh, what did I say? Yeah. She was his yoga instructor.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, go with yoga instructor.
Sure.
Aerobics isn't bad as a fallback.
No, that's fine, too. Sure.
But the possibilities of a yoga instructor are just mind-boggling, as my buddy Will Ferrell says.
Mind-boggling?
Yes, in Blades of Glory. You know, when your mind is so wrapped up, it's like your thoughts are trapped in a bottle.
Yeah, they're flexible. At least.
Oh, there's that too. Sure, I didn't think about that.
Yes.
The flexibility factor.
Yes.
I was thinking of the great deals they get on brown rice.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
The convenience of the hours they work.
Exactly. Yeah, they got married in Malibu over the weekend. Just 30 people attended. It was a small wedding. It was McGinley's second. But John C.'s good buddy, John Cusack, was there.
No kidding.
Okay. So sounds like a lovely event. Congratulations to John. Today's the day, boys and girls. We find out who is the daddy of Anna Nicole Smith's baby, Daniel Lynn.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ as soon as that news comes out.
This should be spectacular. Meanwhile, in a related story, Howard K. Stern has just hired himself a lawyer to represent him. He says because he's constantly being accused of causing the death of Anna Nicole, despite the fact that medical examiners have said that the case was an accidental death.
Right.
He's tired of being besmirched in the public, so he's going to hire a legal team to defend himself against
that. To take down Anna Nicole's mom? She's the one that's quoted in almost all of those articles.
I know he killed her. How do you know that? I just do. Probably won't stand up in court. I wouldn't worry if I was Howard K. Stern, but apparently he needs a lawyer anyway.
I will tell you, for somebody who claims to have loved his mate, he didn't do very much to try to keep her alive. I think we can safely say that. He certainly knew the medication that she was on and how much she was taking, and didn't seem to really spend much time worrying about that.
In the words of the Bible, Bean, is he his drunken horse keeper?
Is that in the Bible?
I don't think so.
I think he was.
He's not supposed to be. He's not her doctor. He's just a dude who's sucking her dry.
But if your wife were laying at home in the condition that Anna was in most of the time, you would not be out shopping for a boat while she had 104 fever and was overdosing, would you?
Well, I don't think he's honorable. I think that's a given. I mean, he looks like he's the bad guy for her. No question about that.
Here's the thing. I take the next step, the previous step before that, I guess, to that, and I say, do I want to marry a drug-addicted fat whore?
Wait a minute.
I say, no, I wouldn't make that step, so I'd avoid that whole problem.
But wait a minute. What if she had $500 million?
Not enough money in the world to put up with the baby talk and the clown paint and
that's your
insanity.
Answer. That's your answer.
That
really?
Is my answer, yes.
Even if you knew she was going to be dead at 39, you still wouldn't
live those
few years? No, I'm saying if you did, though, if you knew she was going to be dead at 39, would you have done it?
No, because then you still have to live that life. You still got to be that guy, and that's going to be him forever.
But how many years?
Be known as that guy.
How many years was he with her? Do we know? 10, 12?
Like around 10, maybe, yeah.
Something like that?
That's a lot of time, dude.
If he gets the money, though, we'll see.
Yeah, that's not a given, but. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No good. No good can come from it. All right, I'm officially cheesed off now.
Uh-oh.
This Ryan Reynolds has to be stopped.
Oh. What's he doing now?
Well, you know, he's been dating everybody that's good in Hollywood.
Right.
And I think he's a hack. He just ended his relationship with Alanis Morissette. Apparently, about 2 months ago, they split up. And I think she's real talented.
Yeah.
And has a certain earthy, sexy quality about her.
Sure.
But I was willing to let that pass. Now he's crossed the line.
Uh-oh.
Guess who's seeing now?
Who's he dating?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, he is not.
Yeah. Come on!
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. How do you like
no.
now? Something's got to be done.
That is not right.
I want you to stop feeding the hounds of hell for a couple weeks. I want them nice and hungry before I release them.
All right. Done.
And get the hammers of hell, too, out. Right here. Like, I keep right next to the house.
A major case of the hornies.
He does.
Do we have to starve the hammers, too, or just the dogs?
The hammers are good.
Okay.
Here's an interesting story. Fallout Boy's got a big gay following. Did you know that?
Yes.
It doesn't surprise me.
How could they not?
Yeah.
Big gay following.
Listen to them.
And Pete Wentz is featured in this month's issue of The Advocate as part of a feature on musical artists with big gay followings. And, Pete says his gay fans were really impressed, and he thinks really attached to them, when he admitted that he doesn't mind kissing boys.
Yeah.
And anything above the waist is fair game, in Pete's opinion.
Oh.
Yeah.
I actually meant it, he said in The Advocate. That's just kind of how I am. I'm a bit of a make-out bandit. I don't discriminate too much.
Yeah.
Well, he's satisfying his audience.
The rumor mill, by the way, says that Pete and Ashley Simpson are dating again. And spent hours making out at Club Park here in Los Angeles last Saturday, so...
That'd drive you to men.
Yeah, I'd go to guys first, I think.
Yeah, I think
so. Do you think it's possible to be anything above the waist is fair game, but only be exclusive to women below the waist? Come on.
Well, you got a guy and a girl at the same time? Maybe. You know, if you're making out with a dude, meanwhile, you know, you're kind of working the underparts of a woman at the same time, I mean...
Yeah, what are the chances that's happening is what I'm saying.
Speaking of sex and celebrities, interesting list from Us Weekly magazine about how certain celebrities lost their virginity and to whom.
Awesome.
I thought it was pretty interesting. Paris Hilton. You can't imagine. You can't think back to a time back when she was a virgin. You can't imagine.
Third grade teacher.
You have to be like Doctor Who and get into a time machine and go back eons to think of a time when she was still a virgin. But apparently, she lost her virginity to Randy Spelling, brother of Tori.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
That's where she finally gave it up. I think she was six. Britney Spears lost hers to Justin Timberlake. No big surprise there.
Sure.
Dean Cain, TV Superman, guy who jacked a baseball that Kevin threw that's still traveling to this day.
It was the first pitch I got over the plate, and it's still in the air. I've never seen a ball hit like that before.
He claims he deflowered Brooke Shields while they were both in school at Princeton.
Yeah, really?
Good for you, Dean Cain.
Fantastic.
That's another ball he crushed right out of the park.
That's pretty late, though, isn't it? Princeton.
She was a diehard virgin.
She was very public
about the fact that she was not going to be promiscuous and not give up her sexuality until she met the one.
I got you.
I guess the one was found after a six-pack at a frat party at Princeton.
She got tired of waiting for the one.
But here's the one. I'm doing this just to hurt Dave. Mandy Moore?
Yes.
Lost hers to Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh, yeah. I'd be willing to bet he's on a lot of lists.
Yeah. A funny caveat, though, at the end of that story is that she, to this day, still denies it.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't you deny it, though, if Pez took your virginity?
What magazine is that?
This is Us Weekly
magazine.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, this Jason Waller, he's a character, isn't he? Oh. He's a card he needs to be dealt with, doesn't he? This is from the Laguna Beach.
Okay.
Jason Waller.
Oh, the kid that got arrested again?
Former boyfriend of Lauren Conrad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going for the record. I was just talking earlier in the week about the fact he had been arrested three times in the past year. Well, he got number four over the weekend. Congratulations.
Wow.
This is his fourth arrest since last August, this time in Seattle. This guy moves around, too. He's got one in New York, one out here, one in Seattle now, and I think Boston or Chicago.
It's going to make the court dates convenient when they come up, isn't it?
What does he get arrested for?
Cops were summoned to Seattle's Marriott Hotel after a security guard said Jason was causing a disturbance in the lobby. That disturbance? He punched the security guard in the face.
I guess that's a disturbance.
Then he proceeded, after he punched him, to pass out on the third floor of the hotel. Cops woke him up, realized he was reeking of alcohol, removed him from the hotel, but not until he had a chance to scream the N-word and the F-word, the derogatory F-word for homosexual, at the cops while they were putting the cuffs on him and dragging him to the car.
Hey, you don't wake the guy up when he's sleeping in the lobby of a hotel, all right?
He did not go gingerly into that dark night, so good times.
What a loser.
He's the same guy. You were talking about with a sex tape recently, too, right?
Well, he claims there's a sex tape of him and Elsie that he wants to sell before he goes into jail so he can make a little money for his defense fund.
He's not done anything except for that show, right?
Except for date her on television. That's all he's really done. He's a major a-hole.
Yep.
No kidding.
Yeah. And you guys were talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Bean watched Dancing with the Stars.
I know.
I couldn't leave. I had to have dinner.
I had to eat dinner.
There was no place else for me to go. I was forced to watch it. But luckily, I got dessert at the end.
Dessert? What are you, eight?
Who's sitting at home at dinner having dessert after dinner?
I got no problems with dessert. I think dessert's awesome. It's the best part of the day.
Dessert is awesome, but really.
You get dessert when you go out to dinner or something, right? You're not sitting home. You don't get pudding after dinner every time when your wife makes dinner.
It's often there is dessert. There may be ice cream.
I have ice cream a lot.
You guys are 12.
Put on my feeding pajamas.
Grown-ups don't eat regular desserts after their meals.
Ice cream is the best food ever.
Yeah, it's an occasional snack or something, but you don't have dessert after every dinner.
That sounds like a Ralph Garman rule to me.
Your problem with me is that I like ice cream and not Bean that he watched Dancing with the Stars for an hour?
It all gets lumped in together once I find out more and more.
I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars.
Look, you all have wives. You know that there are times where you end up sitting in the room with your wife because she wants to watch something.
If I have a passable interest in a show that I wouldn't necessarily seek out on my own, yeah, sometimes I'll sit around and just catch some of it. But if it's a show I know I don't want to see, nothing's keeping me in that room.
Yeah, you just stand up and walk out.
No threat of not getting dessert or no threat of going to bed without a glass of water next to it in my binky. Nothing is going to keep me in that room.
Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, you began to say.
Right, don't try to deflect it. Don't try to deflect it now.
I wouldn't get dinner if I didn't watch that show.
Is she your wife?
She said, hey, I made dinner. We're watching Dancing with the Stars.
I said, look, the plate is portable. I can carry the plate. I have the physical wherewithal to lift that piece of Salisbury steak off the dinner table.
I have legs.
And I'm going to walk them into the other room now.
I hadn't seen her all day. It seemed like it was a reasonable request to sit down and have a meal with her, watch some Dancing with the Stars.
Bodog.com's released its odds on who's going to win now. They change every week. And judging from last night's episode, Layla Ali is now the favorite, going up at 6-5.
That's Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Want to make some money, just a little bit of money, you can lay some money on Layla, yeah. Joey Fatone is 7-5. He's in second place. Apollo.
I think it's Fatone, Ralph. I'm pretty sure it's Fatone, the kid from NSYNC.
Huh. Well, F-A-T-O-N-E.
That one. Right. You're right.
That's what it spells.
You're right.
Yeah. Apollo Anton Ono. 3-1 odds.
Speed skater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ian Ziering, former 90210 star, 5-1. Heather Mills. Hoppy McWonner.
sorry, what's her name?
Hoppy McWonner. She's 7-1 odds. John Ratzenberger is 17-2 odds.
Yeah, he's awful.
Billy Ray Cyrus is 9-1. Lisa Gibbons, 15-1. Clyde the Glide Drexler. By the way, they got to take the glide back. They got to make it relinquish that nickname. 17-1 odds.
He was way smooth when he played in the NBA in the 70s, I want to say.
Yeah.
Now he's old.
He used to play with a leather helmet. That's how long ago he
was. That was football.
What? Today's celebrity birthdays, John Madden from Monday Night Football, coach of the Oakland Raiders, of course.
Sure.
In their glory days. He's 71 years old today. Steven Seagal. Very popular actor. Thought it was Doto there for a second. 56 years old today. Peter McNichol, you were talking about 24.
Yep.
Kevin, he, of course, is now on that show. 53 years old today. Brian Setzer from the Brian Setzer Orchestra, as well as the Stray Cats, turns 48 years old today. Haley Joel Osment, who made his big splash in The Sixth Sense many years ago, is 19 years old now, and he has grown up something ugly, hasn't he?
Has he? I haven't seen him.
He is not a good-looking young man.
Sucks when you're cute publicly when you're a kid.
Ugly works as a kid. Ugly can be ugly cute when you're a kid. When you're a grown-up, it's just ugly just becomes ugly.
Ugly, ugly.
And Mandy Moore, just speaking of Mandy Moore.
I love her.
Singer and actress. She is 23 years old today. Boy, is Mandy taking a back seat to Veronica Mars, by the way.
Yes.
In the Dave pantheon of Women He'll Never Sleep With.
Well, she came in.
I mean, Veronica, she was huge. Mandy Moore came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a long time.
A giant photo of him with her.
It was a long time.
Like Ralph was going to eat her.
Ralph was right.
Yeah, and she called in, and she said, and she sent him money back for the CD he bought her.
Oh, that's
right. Her first CD. I thought there was something special there. And now
Dave would step on her face in cleats to get to Kristen Bell right now. You know that.
It's just, he's fickle. That's all I'm saying.
My guess is Dave has women everywhere that think they're the only one. Because that's how he rolls.
Woman in every port.
That's right.
As long as that port is Long Beach. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How does he not have a website?
We could ask him. I don't know.
Retarded kids have websites now.
he may have a website, but I think he does it for the love of the game, Kevin. That's what I think is going on here. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We're talking about Deathpool Dave. A friend of mine tipped me off to this dude who apparently is the best of the thousands and thousands and thousands of players on the internet who get into these death pools and make money off of it. And I've always, as you know, Kevin, have always been fascinated with this topic.
Bean has long been into this kind of stuff, and so he must really look up to Deathpool Dave.
Deathpool Dave.
Oh, that's
hot. How you guys feeling, man?
Hey, Dave.
Well, thanks. Feel good.
You don't call him Death, Kevin. You call him Dave.
I don't know. How do you know?
Dave, thanks a lot for joining us briefly, and we have so many questions for you because it's so fascinating, this thing that you do. How'd you get involved in the death pools? How long have you been at this?
I've been at this since the 80s when I got a job, you know, as a very young man in a hospital, and I was probably like 19, and I noticed the surgeons and the nurses there had a death pool going where they bet with each other.
Oh, no.
You mean on patients?
Sometimes they bet on patients, but they also bet on celebrities, and I thought that was just sick and twisted, and I just really wanted to play.
So you were in, okay.
Sure, why not? It's amazing. Doing a little bit of research before we talk to you, Dave, I was surprised at how many sites there are that seem to be big. I mean, it's not just, I mean, sites that have thousands of players. This is a huge industry, right?
Yeah, and those are the only ones that are available to the public. A lot of the business is by invitation only. Once, you know, you play the public once, people get to know you a bit, then you get invited to the private games.
Oh, now, interesting.
Now, Death or Pool or Dave, whatever your name is, you don't have a website? You don't have deathpooldave.com or anything?
No, I don't have a website.
Why not? It seems like you could really cash in that way.
You know, there's so many corpses and so little time. You know, who's got time to run a website?
You know, some of the sites that I was looking at this morning, there's cashforcadavers.com. There's a Halloween Deadpool. There's a Celebrity Deathpool. You Bet Their Life. The Rotten Deadpool. Stiffs.com. Do you play any of these public ones anymore, or is that are you way past that?
No, I play a lot of them. A lot of times I won't use my name because I found that people will just go and see who I'm betting on, then they'll take my pick. So I'll enter under a different name.
Now, how are you so good at this?
Well, I work as a healthcare researcher, and this really is a game of insider information. You know, it's all about getting access to data, knowing what it means, and getting your bet down before your competition does.
I see. Hmm.
Now, are you a guy who likes a mix of the older, obvious celebrities that are likely to go in the next few years, and then a few of the younger dark horse picks, or do you have a strategy that you use when you're putting together your list?
Yeah, I like a nice balanced portfolio. You know, the most common scoring system is 100 minus their age, so you get more points for younger people.
Oh,
a lot of people load up with geezers and go for quantity. Some people load up with what we call rookies who are 40 years old or younger and hope to get just a couple of them.
Right.
I like to balance it out. You know, I got some geezers, but, you know, I like to go with my rookies as well.
Who's number one on the list of Death Pool Dave?
Death Pool Dave.
One pick this year was Tammy Faye Mesner.
Tammy Faye Mesner.
Interesting. What is it that's attractive to about her for you, Dave?
Well, she's 65 years old, so it's a good solid 35-pointer, and I think that grade 4 malignancy in the lower lobe of her lung really is what attracted
right.
me.
Oh, I see.
Well, that is very hot.
That's what attracted you. What about the young celebrities? What about the Lindsay Lohans and the Paris Hiltons and the Britneys?
Yeah.
Who do you have in there?
My number one rookie was Whitney Houston. My number two was Anna Nicole, so I got a cool 61 points out of her.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, that's not a tough call, though, is it? She was on the verge of...
Yeah, I don't feel like any type of a genius for picking that. Of course, I've had her for like 4 years, so I lost on her for 3 years and look like an idiot. So.
Does it look like Whitney Houston is coming back out of the tailspin?
You know, they do that, though. I had the same thing with Courtney Love. You know, they're kind of up and down. It only takes one speedball to win, so...
One speedball to win.
Now, looking around at some of the lists that are published, and again, these are just the public games, so maybe you put up your nose at them, but Billy Graham seems to be the number one most popular pick across the internet. Is that somebody you've got, Dave?
Yeah, he's number 11 on my overall pick right now. I think he's 89, give or take, so he's about 11 points. He's got a fractured pelvis. He had septicemia, which is an infection of the blood. They put a spinal tap actually into his head, which makes him, popular at college parties because you got a tap right in the head.
Oh, my God.
Listen to how much information he has, by the way, on all of these people. It's unbelievable. Now, it's funny because how many different games are you in right now, Dave, if you don't mind me asking?
59 different pools right now, plus a whole bunch of side bets. Side bets are like over or under. If you take the under, you're betting that in 12 months they'll be dead. If you take the over, you bet 12 months.
Okay, wait a minute. 59 pools.
Yeah.
Now, how much money in each pool do you put on average?
You know, it varies. A couple of them are just a few bucks. Probably the most expensive one I'm in is $500 to enter. Probably the average is $20 to $30, give or take.
How much money did you win in the last 12 months?
Last year was kind of an off year for me. I think I won about $3,000. And I've won money every year for 10 years now after losing for about 7 or 8 straight ones. So I started it off slow.
What was your biggest year?
The biggest year was that year that Lane Staley died because I had $15,000 just on him and I won about another $5,000 in the pool. So it was about a $20,000 year.
How about that?
No way. You bet.
Now, this past week, I have to ask, did you have Calvin DeForest? Larry Bud Millman?
No, I didn't.
All right. Did you have Johnny Hart, creator of the syndicated TV comic strip BC? Did you have him?
No, I'm starting to be a professional embarrassment here. No, I had neither one of those. But the good thing is that no one else did either, so I really didn't lose any ground.
Yeah,
that's what's fascinating is the guys that die that you've heard of, like the guy who directed the Christmas Story movie that died in the car accident this week, Bob Clark. I mean, that's a guy that you woke up and you saw his name in the paper, you went, never even thought of him, right? Because he's so off the radar, why would you put him on your list, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get your information all legally, or do you somehow get some information about their health, their medical history? Because that seems to be highly guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not that highly guarded, believe me.
But what I'm saying is...
Lance Staley was a great example of that. He was in the Seattle area, and I got an email from an EMS worker out there who said that they'd done a run to his house at the request of the family, and the guy had end-stage gangrene, his arm was just like hanging there. He needed an immediate surgery and basically threw him out of the house. So
that's
I got on
sad.
The phone with every bookie I had, and like 2 months later, I had $20,000.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Death Pool Dave.
Death Pool Dave.
He's in 59 death pools.
Dave, do you also have a regular job that you go to?
Oh, yeah, I'm a healthcare researcher. That's what I do for a living.
Right.
How do you have time to manage all of these pools? Or is it a lot of them you just set it up and then you just let it run on its own?
Well, yeah, you know, December's probably my biggest month because you're getting all your list together for the new pool. After that, you kind of let it ride. There's a few of them that I'm in that go month to month, so you got to redo your picks every month, and a couple of them that are every quarter. But the big money is in annual games. So December's just crazy trying to get your list together.
Now, are you considered like a pro? Do people go, ooh, that's Death Pool Dave. He just made a bet.
Yeah, you know, Fox National Network News had me on one time. They said I held the record for death pools. I don't know if that's true or not, but they said it, so what the hell?
With being in death pools, you mean, and winning money?
Yeah, for winning money, yeah. The most successful, I forget exactly how they worded it. I think they just made it up, to tell you the truth, but whatever, I'll go with it.
Yeah, you'll go with it. Who cares?
All right, Dave, let me just ask you about a couple more people real quick before we let you go. Michael Jackson, he seems like the kind of guy that I don't think a lot of us would be surprised if he ended up in some sort of a tragic overdose or something. What do you think of him?
You know, he's number two on my wish list. Now, normally in a death pool, you're not hoping that they die. You're just accepting the fact that they might. And, you know, rather than getting all morbid and morose, we just accept the fact that people die and we try to predict. But then there are people that you actually want to die. He's number two on that list.
Yeah, who's number one?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh! Please, God, make that happen.
Is Tyra there anywhere?
Tyra Banks?
No, I don't have Tyra on there. I've seen her. A couple people have picked her, but I don't know.
I bet. How about, that's awesome that they have a wish list, too. I didn't know that.
How about the real-life Darth Vader, Vice President Dick Cheney?
You know, I had Cheney for a while. I'd see him up there pledging allegiance, but actually he was clutching at his chest. The guy's blood type is nacho cheese, you know?
But, he's got a death chunk.
Because he's constantly surrounded by Secret Service. If he were to drop, he'd have instant medical care.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, good point.
It's kind of a tough pick.
That's true.
All right, last one for you, and maybe this one is a cause for controversy in the death pool community, but a guy like Osama bin Laden, A, he's on your wish list, but B, how do you know if he ever dies?
You know what? He was taken off the list a couple years ago for exactly that reason. A lot of people said he was already dead. And the main score sheet is the Associated Press obituary section. It's got to show up there to count. So a lot of people would not accept him as a candidate for a while. About 2 years ago, he got added back on, so everybody's betting him again.
What's the nuttiest rule that you have in the death pools?
Well, I think certainly the most controversial is who is a celebrity and who is not.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Right?
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah. Wow.
I had the Nigerian finance minister one time. He was in a car accident. And he died, and there was nothing showed up in the AP, so I wrote a fake obituary and sent it to them, and they published it.
Oh, nice! He's not above cheating.
You are the man. That's fantastic. Well, we can't believe you're not running a website and making money on your picks here, Dave. It does seem like it's almost un-American that you're not taking advantage of your skills and somehow figuring out a way to cash in on it with even more than you're already doing. I'm shocked by that.
I'll get around to it.
He's a lazy death pool picker.
I'm betting against that.
All right, very last question, Dave. Does anyone have you on their death pool?
I don't know. The biggest problem, I don't really think I'm famous enough to show up in the AP.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
we've seen
true.
How that happens. You just write a fake obituary and send it in.
Exactly.
It's true. I probably am on some wish list.
Well, that is awesome, man. We really appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock today.
Hey, you guys be well. But, you know, call me if you're not, all right?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Death. First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520. Afro is the phone number, 24 hours a day, to leave a message of any kind, including this is an old school listener that wants some information about something we used to talk about all the time.
Holler, Kevin and Bean. So, talking with my friends and talking about Kevin and Bean's master plan. Rule number one, you never look as good as you actually feel having sex, so don't tape it unless you're Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee.
True.
And rule number three is lower your standards, but for the life of me, I can't remember what rule number two is.
I forgot about lower your standards. Yeah, that was good advice, and that developed out of the singles parties that we used to do when people would always complain about the people they can't get. It's because they need to lower their standards, then they get a lot more people available to them.
The Kevin and Bean Master Plan, really just a set of rules that everybody should live by but don't, so we have to put it out there. One is don't videotape yourself having sex, because you don't look as good as you feel.
Right.
Two is don't bring anybody that looks better than you to an audition. That's important.
We hear those stories all the time.
They'll always get the gig. It's
amazing how many models and actresses have told us that they went with a friend to audition for something, and their friend didn't get asked to be there, and they did. And they've gone on to become superstars now. And that's very good advice to keep in mind.
Three is lower your standards. Four is exit only.
Mm-hmm.
5 is don't come home early from work, ever. Let's say you get off at like 10, and for some reason there's a gas leak, and you're off work at 10, don't go home. You need to drive around, see a movie, whatever. You get home when you normally get home. You don't want to see what's going on. And finally, boldface lie.
Oh, yeah.
In the face of what's that word I'm looking for?
Incontrovertible.
Yes, proof. Boldface lie. So we had one of Bean's goats or sheep in our studio one time. Scott Mason, our operations manager, came in, and Bean said, "What? What are you talking about? We don't have a sheep in here." Hopefully their head will just explode because they're looking at it. They can't put two and two together.
You tell them something that is in direct contrast to what they think they see with their own eyes, and you make them guess. You make them second guess themselves, basically, because how could you be saying that if it weren't true?
Kevin, to be master plan. It's all good advice.
If you were gay, it would be okay. If you were queer, I'd still be here. I'm black.
I don't know what that meant.
What's going on there?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Here's a question that we get asked often.
Boobs. Who has the nicest boobs at K-Rock? The world must know. I always wonder what Lisa and Kat's boobs look like. Let me know!
Nicole.
I'm sorry?
Nicole.
Alvarez.
Yeah?
Boobs.
Really? First? Nicest boobs? Better than Aaron, former K-Rock receptionist?
Yeah, I was thinking Aaron,
but
too.
But that guy doesn't know Aaron.
So yeah, but we do.
I'm talking about on air or people who get on the air. I'm going to say Nicole.
But Lisa's right there.
Yeah, it's okay.
Lisa's boobs,
but
fine.
They're not as big as Nicole.
Okay, I'm going to put her in second place.
Okay, and then Kat?
Then Kat and, Amy Stevens. Does she count?
Oh,
but
she, my
she doesn't count.
Lord.
So, okay, then yeah. Then I'm going Nicole Alvarez, Lisa Mae, Kat Corbin.
Okay.
Hold on, you got to put Doc before Kat.
What about
when you're
Alice?
Just talking about just
no, we're not
full,
talking about
full
just,
breasts?
You know what, guys? I apologize. Super Steve.
Super Steve, yeah.
Oh, Super Steve's the winner.
We're not going just with size, though, either.
Oh, I see. Okay, total package.
There are a lot of things going on in the news. How do you keep straight what's the most important?
Global warming, the war on terror, the war in Iraq. The only thing that matters. 20 days to rage, bitch.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine.
All right.
Reuniting, yeah. Coachella. On that Sunday. Can't wait.
You know what you guys should do? You should have the wand and Wendell Liquor Nick go out cruising for chicks and record that. That would be the greatest.
That would be funny. We talked about doing a Big Brother type thing called the Tard House.
Because we're nothing if not sensitive.
But that didn't fly.
Get on up, get on up, get on up, stay on the scene. Get on up with Kevin and Bean. Get on up, stay on the scene. Get on up with Kevin and Bean. Get on up, hi.
Wow.
Thank you, James Brown, for checking in this morning. Don't do meth, by the way. That's what that
is. Ralph. Oh, Ralph. I love you, Ralph.
That's not annoying.
Ow. Damn.
Everybody loves every commercial here on K-Rock.
Alex's friggin' intro-lays commercials make me want to vomit. Hi, this is Alex.
What to do, nephews? It's Alex from the Kevin and Bean Show, better known as your super whore. And I love many things. I love big fancy. That's right. I love them. They did my. And it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know when it's especially perfect?
When?
When it's painless due to a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over very quickly. And you're out of there. So call 1-888. Those do not come cheap, but someone gives you a. That's pretty good, people.
Yeah.
I let them put lasers in my ass. Trust me, it works. Biatches. So if you're interested in nice big call 1-888. That's what the Kevin and Bean Show recommends.
How do you not like that commercial? What's wrong with these people?
Ralph Garman has joined us. Ralph, what are you interested in this morning? What are people talking about?
People are talking about the fact that Andy Barker, P.I.,
yeah. Already canceled?
Already canceled.
No!
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, NBC has more or less canceled the new Andy Richter comedy, Andy Barker, P.I., after pulling it from the network's Thursday night lineup after only 4 episodes.
You know, I'm so sorry to hear that because I think he is extremely talented and very, very funny. And this show was pretty good. I liked Controls the Universe even better, but there's just, we got to find the right venue for this dude.
The show is very entertaining, but no one was watching, even after... They aired it after The Office and 30 Rock, trying to build an audience for it. It just was dropping way off. So
that's not good.
NBC's going to dump it to Saturday night at 8 o'clock. the Death Zone.
Saturday night at 8, that's prime time
for
right
the
there.
Next two episodes, and then they said they're going to put it on hiatus.
Yeah.
They never ever say they're just going to cancel
it.
They
just cancel it.
They don't use the word canceled.
Joins the Black Donnelly, 6 Degrees of the Wedding Bells, and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip as shows that are on hiatus. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, sorry to hear that, because I thought, Dave and I were talking about it, I guess the second week we had both watched it. We're like, it's not laugh out loud funny, but it's really sort of fun and warm and
yeah,
friendly.
Yes.
It's an enjoyable half hour of television.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of that on TV that you can go to
I
and
agree.
Say, I'm going to have a good time, you know, it's not gonna, I'm not going to get any belly laughs, but I'm just going to enjoy myself for the next half
so
hour.
We have, so our fun is relegated to Saturday night at 8.
Yeah, sure, okay. Check it out, because everyone's sitting around watching it. TV Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Hayden Panettiere.
Yes.
Is my girl.
I'm no school administrator, but there's an extension program going on in my trousers.
More so than ever. She was recently going into a restaurant when a lurking paparazzo jumped out and started snapping shots at Hayden. Apparently unaware he was shooting the wrong starlet. He didn't know who he was shooting, and he yelled out, "Give him hell, Lindsay."
Oh, ouch. Don't insult the girl.
Apparently, Hayden spun around on her heels, lost her cool, and yelled at him, "Don't ever call me that again."
Yeah, that's funny.
She's got some self-respect, for God's sake.
That's awesome.
Sorry to break the news to you, ladies, but Gerard Butler, star of 300, has a new girlfriend.
Aw.
Apparently, he is currently dating BlackBerry-chucking supermodel Naomi Campbell.
Okay, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he is.
Naomi Campbell is scary.
Don't want to get her riled up.
Hot, no. But scary.
But Gerard Butler's a Scot. Maybe he likes to mix it up like that.
Maybe.
He's got that Sean Connery kind of slap him with an open hand kind of thing once in a while.
We're talking with Sean next, I hope.
I know. Can't wait to listen.
Fantastic.
It's going to be great. Kevin Federline's ex, Shar Jackson, is looking good these days. She tells In Touch magazine that she couldn't get the baby weight off after she had Kevin Federline's 19 kids or whatever.
Right, right.
So she just had a tummy tuck and a breast lift for $15,000, and now she says she feels much better about herself.
Well, okay.
She's like 22 or something.
I don't know.
$15,000 worth of plastic surgery already.
That Brittany paid for, I imagine?
Madness. Yeah, I'm sure.
That's a nappy head of dollars there.
Oh, come on. That's
stop
not
it.
That's not appropriate.
What the hell?
Why would you play that?
Would you
that's
play that.
When the guy said that has been
why
say that's
wrong
here for 2 weeks.
I'm agreeing with the he shouldn't have said that. I'm saying that was inappropriate.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Just wrong.
Isn't that what America thinks is entertainment?
No, it isn't.
Good news for Kevin. American Idol will be with us for at least 3 more years. The company that markets the show, Bensussen Deutsch & Associates, have just got a contract extension to the exclusive rights to manage over the 10 million pieces of American Idol themed merchandise that is out there in the world.
Oh, my God.
10 million different items have been merchandised.
That's not possible.
American Idol.
There's, there
what,
can't
what,
be
am
that
I
many.
Making stuff up?
But 10 million
yeah,
different items?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Coca-Cola connections, singular phones, Ford, Kellogg's, T-shirts, caps, keychains, board games, Idol-branded lottery tickets, dryers, ice cream. There's over 10 million different pieces of American Idol themed merchandise.
Shocking.
The most recent one, as I mentioned, is the dryers ice cream. You know, they've got 5 different American Idol flavors now, Kevin. You can eat
American
Idol flavors. You can have Take the Cake, which is yellow cake flavored with blue frosting and sprinkles. You can have Chalk and Roll Caramel. See, Chalk and Roll.
Are you still talking about American Idol items?
You can get some Hollywood Cheesecake flavor. Soulful Sunday Cone and Triple Talent is also available in stores right now. You can pick that up.
How about that was the worst audition we've ever heard? How about that ice cream?
Not a current flavor.
No.
I don't think. And sad news for Smashing Pumpkin fans are still waiting to see which lineup will be touring after the new CD drops in July. James Iha has announced he won't become part of the upcoming Smashing Pumpkins reunion tour. He told Rolling Stone magazine he's busy working on a solo album. He's got an independent record label named Scratchy Records that he is currently running as well. He also adds that he hasn't spoken to Billy Corgan in years. So the only original band members that we know for sure will be on tour are Billy and drummer Jimmy Chamberlain. So we'll have to wait and see who fills out the rest of the slots.
Oh,
speaking of original drummers, you know, I love the Pete Best story, the guy who got booted out of the Beatles before they started selling multi-platinum records.
That is maybe the best story
ended
ever.
Ended up working in a bakery in Liverpool. Yeah. I
Things aren't so bad for Pete as originally
really?
Thought. Oh, really? Here's what saved his ass in recent years anyway. You know, they put out that anthology record set, which was like every track they ever recorded and demos and stuff that
right.
was recorded before they went big and stuff. Several of the tracks where he was playing drums on there was included in that set, and it sold multi-million copies.
Okay.
Right. So Pete Best said he got about $2 million from that CD
wow.
set.
$2 million?
That's yeah. an unexpected nice
I'd like
check.
To go to your mailbox and pull that out.
He must be practicing the secret.
Yeah. He's getting checks, not bills.
So in the 60s and then the 70s and then the 80s
and then the 90s, no money, and then eventually
they finally crack open the BBC vault and start releasing some of that stuff, and he finally gets paid for the work he did in the Beatles.
Boom, $2 million.
How about that?
Damn.
That's awesome.
He can stop making cupcakes for a while. Good for him. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Madden. Boom! NFL commentator, he's 71 years old today. Steven Seagal. Martial artist, actor,
no.
country western singer,
no.
guitarist,
no.
extraordinaire. He's
mm-hmm.
got it all.
No.
He's a renaissance man.
He is. He is 56 years old today. Peter McNichol from 24, and Ally McBeal is... Ally McBeal.
Ally McBeal is a
that'd
different
be a better show to watch.
I'd love that one.
He's 53 years old today. Brian Setzer of the Stray Cats and his own orchestra is 48 years old today. Haley Joel Osment from Sixth Sense turns 19, and Mandy Moore.
Oh,
I don't care about Mandy Moore anymore. I kick her to the curb. I've got Veronica Mars now. She's my new girlfriend.
Till Mandy Moore walks in.
My new fantasy girlfriend. She is 23 years old today.
Yeah.
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 Boobs.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, we want to talk to one of our favorites, Academy Award-winning actor Sean Connery, back in the news. Good morning, Mr. Connery.
Well, if it isn't Ben and Jerry, how are those pickles moving?
Mr. Connery.
You
Look, we appreciate that you take the time to come on. You know, Oscar-winning actress, well-respected. We're big fans of yours, and we appreciate the chance to talk to you. But why are you always so hard on us every time we call you?
Because I hate you.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Now, we're looking in the news about Indiana Jones and how they're talking about you reprising your role.
Yes.
Apparently, you were Professor Henry Jones in the 1989 film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and George Lucas says he wants you to be in the next one.
Yes, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are desperate to get me in their next film.
They have said that. Yeah, they're not going to take no for an answer, as a matter of fact, is how far they've gone.
Yes, in fact, they're willing to suck my...
Well, I don't think they've gone as I don't think they've gone as far as to say that, but I mean, this is a great franchise. The movies have been enormously successful. I'm sure they'd make it easy for you. Why don't you think about doing it?
Because they're not willing to meet my demands.
I thought it was just a matter of backing up a Brinks truck with money.
Well, that was it initially until I found out how bad they wanted me.
Oh, so now you have more?
Now I realize I've got them by the butt.
I see.
Okay, I gotcha.
Until they turn blue. I want exactly what I want, and I won't settle for less.
Okay.
So you're going to blackmail your friends until you get what you want, basically, is what it is.
Friends, have you seen Lucas's Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
He's no friend of the moviegoer, my friends.
Okay, all right. Good point.
Now, what are your demands? Have you made these known yet?
I've got a list, and so far I haven't heard back from them.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want a hermaphrodite.
You want a hermaphrodite?
Yes, I want someone who has both set of genitals.
To do what?
My house so I can watch them themselves.
Oh, geez, oh, my
John.
God.
One time? Full time?
I think that would be entertaining. Just once.
Once, okay.
I'd like to see a guy or a girl or a shim just stuff his into his own.
Okay, listen.
Oh, geez.
First of all, we have to watch our language on the radio if you don't mind.
First of all. You.
And second of all, that doesn't seem like a normal request for an actor trying to make a movie.
I'm just curious. I want to see it.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with being an actor. I just want to see someone themselves.
Okay.
All right.
I've
all right.
So many
wow.
people to do it over the years. I want to know if it's possible.
True. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Secondly, I would like a device implanted into my penis that when I it shoots out butterscotch pudding.
What? That doesn't even exist.
Well, then they better get to work on it.
Oh.
Before this movie is made.
Butterscotch pudding.
Yes.
Okay.
A girl would never stop you if you would shoot butterscotch pudding into a set of
Come on.
Well, you put it that way.
Oh, my God. Scotch pudding. This is delicious. Please. Just squirt more pudding on my
Okay,
we got it.
It.
Wow.
I would like Britney Spears to give me a colonoscopy.
Britney Spears to give you a colonoscopy.
Yes. But what I want you to do is to grease up her shaved bald head and stick it right up my
Oh,
jeez.
Seems
take a look around.
That seems a little unreasonable.
Not for me, it's not.
Okay, all right.
For her, it might be. I give a little miner hat.
Okay.
A little light on it, and she can go up there and take a look for polyps. Oh. I would also like Daniel Craig to get a tattoo on his forehead that reads, I'm double homo seven.
Oh, come on. He was a pretty good James Bond.
Well, yes, if you like sucking. Okay. Which apparently you do.
Okay, all right.
I would like the entire catalog of my daughter's Blackzilla movies.
There's a lot of those, aren't there?
There's just, there are hundreds of them, and I want the entire set.
Okay.
Nothing's more entertaining for me than seeing an 18-year-old take a big black.
Okay. That might be a little easier to arrange than the Britney Spears head up the thing.
I would like the deed entitled to a Viagra mine.
A Viagra mine?
There's no mine. They'd make it in a laboratory, Sean.
Oh, do they, Stephen Hawking? I didn't realize you knew exactly how little blue pills were made.
Well, they don't just find them with a pickaxe.
Well, how do they make them then?
Well, they make them in a laboratory. They put ingredients together and they shape them into the shape of a pill. They sell them that way.
Oh, do they, Martha Stewart?
Okay.
Is that how they make them?
All right.
Sorry, Rachel Ray, I didn't know you were in the lab cooking up Viagra.
All right, a Viagra mine.
Yes.
All right.
I want it raw. I don't want any refined okay. I want to snort Viagra until my explodes.
Okay.
And lastly, I'd like to Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Come on! For God's sake, Sean!
Just for the it. Plus, I love her giant that ghost show.
You watch that show, The Ghost Whisperer?
Just her
okay, all right. Well, do you have any hope that they're going to meet your demands?
Not a chance in hell.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. We were talking yesterday to Psycho Mike, who said that he has a dream of writing titles for porns.
Mm-hmm.
That was his dream. One of his dream jobs would be to be coming up with titles for porns. And that seemed a little odd, because most people don't dream really in that way.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, people respond to you a little weird like that, right?
Right, but you know, I think everybody has a weird dream. I mean, we've talked to DJ here, Sluggo, whose dream was to be a 911 operator. I mean, that's just as weird to me. And you know, when I'm sitting at home and I think of Poon Annie 911,
right? Sure.
I think to myself, this is obviously what I was meant to do.
But it's funny, Mike, because a lot of people maybe fantasize about being in porn. Hey, that'd be cool to be a porn star. More people probably fantasize about getting free porn. I mean, that's a pretty common dream. If I get free porn, that'd be awesome. But you're the only guy I know whoever has wanted to work in the industry in that capacity, and that was the gig. I mean, you would really do that full time if you could.
There's just something about me. I envision a man, you know, after a long day's work, going to the adult film store
mm-hmm.
and walking around and looking at all the tapes there and all the DVDs and seeing a title that I came up with and chuckling to himself and saying, that's the film I want to buy. And mm-hmm. that's something about that just stirs me inside, and I really want that.
Only Mike wants to be part of another man's
yep.
Masturbation session.
Yep.
Only Mike wants to be a part of that.
He dreams about being with other men when they got their pants around their ankles. That's his dream.
That's Mike all night.
So Sluggo wanted to be a 911 operator. He did that.
It wasn't also
fun.
Yeah.
And we don't really want him there, to be honest. I love Sluggo.
Especially after he killed that guy. I mean, come on.
I love Sluggo, but he's not the voice I want to hear when I call 911. Okay.
I just picture Sluggo. We should ask him about this sometime. I don't know that we've ever had him on to talk about being a 911 operator. But, you know, Sluggo, funny guy, DJ on K-Rock. He's got the most warped sense of humor. I just picture somebody calling him with a real emergency and him going, that is crazy.
Yeah, of course.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Of course. That's not the guy you want there.
Maybe, right, exactly.
Maybe another day we'll talk to 911 operators. But today what we're looking for is people who have weird dream jobs. It's your dream to do, fill in the blank. And it seems, everybody seems to look at you like you're a little crazy. Like my man Bean,
yeah.
Of course, he's pretty much loony on every level. But he, when he was a kid, when he was a little boy, wanted to be the postmaster general, the guy who runs the post office in the United States.
You've got to be the only kid in the world that had that dream.
That's what I think, too. He had a poster.
Yeah.
Not of a hot chick, not of a movie, not
of
Star
Fawcett.
Wars, nothing. He had a poster of the Postmaster General of the United States on his wall in high school. No wonder
afraid.
He got the hell beaten out of him when he was
afraid what he did at night with that poster,
yeah.
Frankly.
It wasn't anything like that. It was uh-huh. just, I love the post office, and they are one of the most phenomenal organizations in the world. I mean, what they do is amazing. And by the way, U.S. Post Office, not one penny of tax dollars. You know that they are completely self-supporting.
That's right. Don't care, though. See?
I'm just saying, to be the guy who actually is responsible. You know how Mike talks about that little pleasure he gets from thinking of the impact he might have
yeah.
in his dream job? Imagine the pleasure you'd feel knowing that you're responsible for all that mail being delivered promptly.
See, there's no there's no unit of measurement that could measure my disinterest in that job. To me that would be a hell job. Because but it would just
haven't you ever gotten anything in the mail that has really made you happy?
Well, yeah, but that's because somebody else sent it. You don't think about the intermediary. You don't want to be the guy that delivers it.
It doesn't just magically appear. That is the hard work and dedication of thousands of employees. And
yeah, but
I
don't
care. The postmaster general, you could be the guy who would oversee that and make that the finely tuned well-oiled machine that it is.
I understand that's your dream job. That's weird. That's what I'm saying. I have no interest in that. That would be a hell job for me because it would just be trouble upon trouble people complaining. Oh, you didn't get your damn letter. Why don't you go? That would just drive me out of my mind.
And then you got to raise the price of stamps and everybody hates you for that. That would be awful.
Well, there'd be a Clyde Tombaugh stamp already. I'll tell you that if I were running things at the post office.
Sure wish you were. That sure would be great.
I'm just saying, hey, by the way, it's not too late for me to end up in that job either, by the way.
Oh, no, you don't have any skeletons.
I'm just saying, I think I could handle that government
job.
That's
sure.
all I'm saying.
All right, so weird dream jobs. That's what we're looking for. Weird dream jobs. You always thought, hey, that would be the coolest thing if I could. And it's not the stuff that everybody else wants to be. An astronaut, an athlete, a musician, if I could be in a rock band. None of that stuff.
I kind of want to be a park ranger. You're paid better.
Because you love animals, right?
I think it would be cool, and you'd be outside, and you'd be, in the fresh air, and it'd be gorgeous. I would love that, but they don't pay you anything.
Remember this conversation when Joe Rogan comes in, okay?
Okay.
Because he does a little chunk on people like you.
Really?
You want to be park rangers? Really?
No, just that's all I'm going to say right now.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go to Matthew in Irvine, who is calling. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
What's your strange dream job?
I want to draw the little, warning signs. Like, you see those little, wet floor signs and stuff with the little guy, flipping and falling.
you want to draw those. So, on the 5 freeway down by San Diego, you want to draw the little guy with pulling his wife and his kids behind him?
Exactly, yeah. Because, some of them are really hilarious, like that one. And I just want to, I would like to draw, really funny ones. Like, there's one by my apartment. We have those automatic gates.
Yeah.
And there's a guy getting crushed in it, telling you, not stand by the gate.
That's funny. How do you go about that, though?
I have no idea. I was thinking maybe you guys could, help me out.
Nope. But there's not a danger sign character drawer major at UCLA or USC. I mean, that's not really.
There must be a company that makes those signs, though.
I would guess you'd
that
have
has
to.
Artists, yeah.
I would guess you'd have to get into art, I imagine, and just go that way.
I bet somebody has a monopoly on that, because.
Well, let me tell you something.
They always look the same.
The government has a huge sense of humor about their danger signs. They love the funny ones. So good luck with that, Matthew. That's perfect.
That's an awesome example. Like around nuclear power plants, the danger signs there.
Sure.
he could draw pictures of people with blisters on their faces and stuff like that. just to drive the point home. Yeah, it's a great idea.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Right now, though, we're talking about dream jobs. It makes sense to you why this is the job you want, but other people may not share your enthusiasm for it. They don't really get what it is you're talking about or why it is you want to do it. And we got some tremendous calls. Let's see how many we can get in here. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Lindsay? She is up in Ventura. Hey, Lindsay, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's your dream job?
Hey, guys, what to do?
Hey there.
Hi, Lindsay.
My dream job is to name the paint swatches, when you go to the hardware store and all those little paint squares, and they have cute little names like electric suitcase and crocodile tears. I want to be the one to make the names.
But
those names don't mean anything.
But wait, but
I
really?
Know.
You really want to do that? I mean,
yeah,
you don't just find it funny how stupid the names are. You want to do those.
I do, yeah. I want to be the person to give them the stupidest names possible.
Okay.
Do you have a name that you've been dying to use?
Well, Electric Suitcase is actually mine.
That
I
is
think
pretty good
that'd
one.
Be nice for purple, a shade of purple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nothing comes to your head when you say Electric Suitcase more than purple.
Sure.
Yeah,
all right.
Purple's it,
well,
man.
Lindsay, good luck with that.
Hope that works out for you. I don't know that there's a career
doesn't
there
sound like a career. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a full-time job like that's all you do. I suspect the people that do that do a lot of other stuff in the paint world too.
In the paint world? April in Long Beach. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, April.
You don't want to be in the paint world. You want to be in the DVD world.
Yeah, I want to write the synopsis on the back of DVDs.
No kidding.
I love those.
Somebody's got to do that, sure.
Because they always give away the end or don't give you enough information or give you the wrong information.
So you're filling a need. You read the back of the DVD and it makes you angry. All right.
Exactly.
That's like the people that do movie trailers and give away too much information.
Yeah, or not enough.
You need people who make it good but don't give away too much.
Yeah, no, mine would be awesome.
Can you do all of that, April? Can you do the DVDs and the trailers?
I can do everything.
Okay, good. Thank you. Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck with that. Let's go to Carmen in Anaheim. This sounds to me like it's a porn movie waiting to happen, but I want to hear from Carmen what her dream job is. Hey, Carmen, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Carmen.
What are your dream jobs?
When I was little, not anymore, but when I was little, I wanted to be one of the people that changed the tires at the mechanics. You know, like they dip it in the water and then they like...
Yeah, sure. They take them off the rim and then they...
Right, and I thought, one day I went to the mechanics with my dad, and I thought that was the funnest thing ever. And he goes, well, you know what? If you want to be a tire mechanic, or you want to be a tire changer, then you'd be the best damn tire changer in the world.
Yeah, right on.
USA. USA.
You change tires like a mother effer.
Right.
All right.
And like, I quickly got over that, but...
Oh, you're not pursuing that dream?
No.
You realize there was dirt involved?
No, actually, the dirt doesn't bother me. It was the pay.
Yeah.
The pay, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, thank you for the call. I don't understand Joe in Tujunga while we're talking about dream jobs. It seems to me like he's picked one that's been done. Joe, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your dream job?
Been done? Oh, well.
It seems like it.
I guess I'm done then.
No, but what is your dream job?
You know how they have, like, the birthday balloons and the Mother's Day balloons and all that crap?
Right.
Yeah, that's all good and fine. But then you get into the hilarity where you just start getting stuff like, if, you know, you're going to go... In the rear end, you go, oh, crap, or...
What are you talking... Oh, you're talking about condom designs.
Right.
I see.
Stuff you write on them.
So you would have a condom that says, oh, crap.
Or Happy Mother's Day. Not.
Yeah? Okay, well, good luck with that one.
I think Joe is going to fail it no matter what he tries to do, whether it's this career or something else. I see trouble for him. How about Vanessa in La Puente? This is one that is not altogether uncommon. A lot of people go into this line of work. It's not for me, but Vanessa, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's the dream job?
My dream job is to be a coroner. Ever since I was little, whenever I was small, I would always go to funerals, and I would be like, hey, I wonder who does that.
So you look at the dead body, and you think, I have got to get my hands all over that dead body.
Well, you know what? It's just, the whole death thing, and no one wants to do that job. And
of course not. You know why? It's a bad job.
I want to do that, though. I went to a mortuary one day for a field trip from school, and... I saw all that and I smelled it and I still thought it was the coolest thing.
Vanessa, your dream job though, and you're very fortunate, is extremely doable. I mean, you can get into mortuary science and learn how to do that and get a job. I mean, there's tons of places that hire you. I mean, it sounds like that's something you should pursue if that's something you want to do.
Yeah, you can actually do that. The last guy designing condoms, I'm guessing he's not going to make any headway. But
right, exactly.
We went to a mortuary one time, Bean and I had to leave because it was too gross. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I was interested in it. I mean, I thought it was fine. It didn't gross me out at all. It was interesting, I thought, because I'm interested in, seeing new things. But it's not like I had the attraction, like, ooh, this is my thing. This is what I'd like to come to every day.
You were in there licking everything that you could. Admit it. All right, listen, we don't have time.
By the way, how much did she love 6 Feet Under, man? Is that the DVD that's on, like, permanent loop at her house?
Sure.
I mean, that's
Adam and Murrieta wants to be a crop duster because the planes look cool.
Can't argue with that.
Chris wants to poach animal poachers.
I like it.
Okay. Anthony wants to name streets.
Hmm.
Tisha.
That's interesting.
In Huntington Beach. Good morning, Tisha.
Hi.
Hi. What do you want to do?
I want to be a Stingray City tour guide.
What's Stingray City?
I don't know what Stingray City is.
It's a little tourist place off of a Caribbean island in the Grand Cayman.
Oh.
Oh,
then
I see.
So do I. Because that sounds nice.
You mean just because it's beautiful and it's the water and everything?
Yeah, well, you just take little tour boats out to the middle of nowhere, and there are hundreds of stingrays that are about waist deep, and you just take tour boats out there and feed them.
I hope you have giant boobs, because those stingrays go right for the chest,
That's another job you could probably get them, and they probably pay $50 a week, because everybody would, wants to do that job, but you could do it.
You can't. you can't have a job in the Caymans unless you can do a job that a Caymanian can't or won't do.
She actually looked into it.
So you've looked into it and can't do it.
They can do it, and they do it, but then they won't let me do it.
I gotcha. Well, you're being hosed by the man.
I am.
Thanks for the call, Tisha.
Bye.
Bye now. We have a lot of unhappy listeners, don't we? Their dreams are all just all over the board.
So.
Nothing that anyone's offering, but they're dreaming. Bean wants to be in a band just because they're named the Postal Service.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be so cool.
That'd be great.
A good
to
band.
Move mail for people over the country.
Wouldn't that be
what
great?
What a sense of accomplishment you'd get.
Haven't you ever received something in the mail that excited you?
Exactly. Finally, you guys are coming around. It's 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Ah, poor Andy Richter. Just can't catch a break.
Uh-oh.
He, of course, had the very well-received TV series Andy Richter Controls the Universe over there on Fox, which got through in the ash can after about a couple episodes. And now
something's
happened to Andy Barker PI, which I enjoyed enormously. It was co-created by his buddy Conan O'Brien, and it was on NBC for 4 episodes, and now it is being put on hiatus.
Oh.
Which means we'll never see it again. They're going to burn off 2 more episodes on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and then I'm guessing it'll go away, but NBC says it just wasn't pulling in the numbers, even after it put it behind The Office and 30 Rock, trying to garner some attention for it. People weren't watching, so
you know,
even to blame, people.
Even 30 Rock is just barely hanging on. That show's not even in the top 100, Ralph, but they
I know.
Think it's got potential.
But they're saving that because Lorne Michaels, the 600-pound gorilla, he's got Saturday Night Live, and they want to cheese him
right.
off. So.
That's not in the top 100?
No. It's not, no.
Are you kidding?
No.
You know, I wonder at this point, though, with the way the television landscape has changed, if networks are going to have to eventually start accepting lower ratings. I mean, you can't expect shows to pull 10 million people in anymore. They just doesn't happen that often anymore.
Or like they used to, they're going to have to let shows run longer to find an audience and let it slowly build. Not everything is going to be a smash hit out the gate.
I'm sure these people that work their asses off on these shows look at American Idol and go, you a-holes.
Yeah.
And 30 million people messing up the curve.
Speaking of TV, Scrub star John C. McGinley is married. E! Online says the TV doc married his yoga instructor, Nicole Kessler, in a small ceremony in Malibu over the weekend.
Bet she's not ugly.
Yeah. I bet she can wear ankles for earrings, too. God bless him. Here's some good news. Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis was arrested this morning at a Panama City airport.
No kidding.
What now?
Well, they had a warrant out, right?
Yeah. He told the, remember when he said, it's a case of a judge gone wild.
Oh,
the judge
right.
said he had to turn himself in.
Yeah.
Judge put out a warrant for his arrest because he claimed that Joe was not bargaining in good faith with the 7 women who have accused him of victimizing them when he filmed them in sexual situations when they were on spring break in Panama City.
That's so hot.
And he said, look, if you're not going to abide by my ruling, I'm going to throw you in jail. And he said, I'm not going to turn myself in. Screw you. And then he said, okay, all right, I'll turn myself in. And his representatives claim he was on his way to turning himself in today voluntarily when he was recognized by airport police and arrested there on the spot before he even reached the marshal's office. So
I hate it when they arrest you just before you turn yourself in.
I was just going to do that.
Yes.
I was on my way. Ruined it all. It would have been so much better if I could have turned myself in myself.
Mohinder?
Grindhouse not doing nearly as well in theaters as they initially expected, but Kurt Russell, star of the Quentin Tarantino half of that double feature, is still doing some press and talking about some interesting things. And he does an interview in Men's Journal magazine where he talks about his first interaction with his first experience with the opposite sex. He said it was pretty scarring for him.
Oh.
Really?
Physically, as well as mentally. He said he was in third grade, and apparently he caught the eye of a 13-year-old girl who was hanging out under a bridge with a friend. And they called him over, and Kurt's like, dude, I'm going to get some. She's pretty hot.
Sounds good.
So they go under this bridge, and the girl says, lift up your shirt for me. And he does, and she reaches into her hair and pulls out a pen knife, opens it up, and cuts him across the stomach, leaving a 6-inch gash.
Oh, my God.
Then the two took off, leaving Kurt bleeding underneath the bridge with a knife wound.
Where's the mouth?
Why?
He says he does has no idea to this day why they
picked on him like that and chose to do him.
Hey, see that little kid? Let's cut him.
Basically is what they said. Some bad women right there.
He grew up in a rough neighborhood.
Is that why he became Stuntman Mike and the guy started getting revenge on all women?
Wait, absolutely, because they're no goddamn good.
So if a woman who lives under a bridge calls you over, don't go.
She wasn't a troll character. She didn't live under there.
I don't know. That's what I thought he said.
Out under a bridge.
All right. Good advice, though.
They were some bad eggs, and, you know, that's what happened.
They cut him. Talking about going from the mountaintop to the valley.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this 13-year-old chick wants me to come over. She wants me to take my shirt off.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's bad news.
It's time for that isn't good for you,
No, it's not. It's time for a real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays.
Sure.
Okay. This comes to me from Nick in Corona. I would appreciate Nick from sending in.
Not that Nick.
We're talking about hot chicks the other day. There was one of the... Maxims or one of those magazines had a list of their hot chicks.
Right.
And, Nick was talking about, he said, I heard you talking about hot chicks the other day, and I'm usually not a fan of blondes. I'm more of a brunette kind of guy. But there is a blonde in Hollywood that I think is smoking hot. You see, because she tricked me initially when she dyed her hair brunette for her breakthrough role in Scary Movie. I'm talking about that hot piece of ass, Anna Faris.
Sure.
Going with her, she is really hot. Anyway, my buddy doesn't like her because he says she's too skinny and she's knock-kneed.
Knock-kneed.
I don't care, though. I love my... Knock-kneed Anna Faris.
Yes! Yes! Completely acceptable, Psycho Mike.
That's what you're going for, is completely acceptable?
No! Good work!
I resent Mike for it.
Anna Faris, Anna Faris. Anna Faris, Anna Faris, Anna Faris. Anna Faris, Anna Faris, Anna Faris. Oh, 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 Anna Faris.
Knock-kneed Anna Faris.
So suck on that!
That's right, Psycho Mike. Passing judgment on my people's emails. Unacceptable. Today's celebrity birthdays, Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
We got Joe Rogan coming in pretty soon. Joe's in the other room.
Sure.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Joe Rogan and Steven Seagal?
Come on!
You know, they're both masters of the martial arts.
Fatty or in shape?
I think we should get a pay-per-view special going.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
Peter McNichol from 24 and Ally McBeal. He is 53 years old today. Brian Setzer. Of the Stray Cats, as well as the Brian Setzer Orchestra, turns 48. Mandy Moore.
Oh.
She's 23 years old today. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense turns 19 years old today. And John Madden.
John Madden.
Good old John Madden from Monday Night Football.
Best sports analyst on TV.
He's only 71 years old today. I could have sworn he was 90.
He's been 71 my whole life.
But he seems so addled in early onset Alzheimer's. I can't believe he's not older than that. I thought for sure he'd be...
Sharp as a tack.
Yeah, in his,
I see a sock or something on the field. Now, how that got there, I have no idea. But on about...
No, I think it's a Kleenex. No, it's a towel.
It's a towel. You wonder, but you see something out there that you know, don't... You know, it doesn't belong out there.
Well, it's a bad-looking towel.
I thought it was a sock.
You know, Ralph, you pointed it out that it's like listening to your grandpa in the home, just trying to get through a sentence.
If those guys
there was something else going on they could talk about. Oh, wait a minute, there's an entire football game happening.
If those guys did baseball where nothing happens, then I would tune in. That would be spectacular.
Right, I could forgive them that, because you got to fill with baseball. But no, there's lots to talk about, John. Start looking at the game once in a while. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan.
Here's the f***ing Fear Factor guy.
I thought that thing was going to be canceled immediately.
4 years later, I'm standing in front of a chick with a mouthful of animal going, "You can do it! You hang in there!" His son has got a glazed look in his eyes and boners poking out of his choo-choo train PJs, and he's trying to your cat. Don't you think you might want to have a sit-down with that little girl?
Nobody ever off and feels like a winner. Nobody ever off and goes, yeah!
Woo!
Here's my list of to do today. Let me check that by the off. Joe Rogan.
It is, it's even funnier when you don't have to beep it, ladies and gentlemen. From the new CD, Shiny Happy Jihad, he is back on the world-famous K-Rock on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan, good morning to you, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Maybe we should start with...
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
Okay.
Has to kill you to hear them take the balls out of your comedy by having to put those beeps on the radio, huh?
It's kind of funny. I think censorship is hilarious at this point. I just think the whole idea that we got to protect each other from certain words just, you know, while there's a giant war going on.
That's funny to you because you don't have to deal with it on a daily basis. It blows for us.
I don't know how you do it. I would go crazy. I would have abandoned ship and gone to satellite or done something else a long time ago. I don't know how you do it.
I thought of you, Joe, when I was watching the news coverage yesterday, and about 50% of the news coverage on all the channels yesterday was the Don Imus controversy, because he, you know, made some ill-advised remarks last week about the Rutgers women's basketball team. And then, you know, Al Sharpton gets involved, and then there's protests, and then Jesse Jackson is, you know, organizing outside the studios. And do you think too much is made of something like that? I mean, what's your take on what Don Imus said and what you think ought to be done about it?
I certainly don't think that the proper response is talking to Al Sharpton.
Yeah, ever.
I mean, like, who exactly?
Ever, no matter what.
Who do you care? Who does Al Sharpton really speak for? You know, if you want to go on television and talk to Oprah, you know, maybe, I mean, if you want to just get, like, you know, you want to just break it down to, like, you know, race and, you know, like, who represents black people better?
Right.
Oprah, surely. But, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, generalizing, you know, down to a race like that. I think he went
on to Al's show because Al was one of the public voices that was calling for him to be fired. I think that's why he chose that show.
That's like breathing for Al. I mean, that's what he does.
Exactly. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. You know, like, what he said was stupid and it wasn't funny, but that's what that guy's always done.
Yeah.
That guy's always said, like, off-the-cuff things to try to be shocking. You know, I mean, was it insensitive? For sure. If you don't like it, don't listen. No, if you know, and that's the best way to get it canceled. The best way to get it canceled is to just tell people not to listen, but to just go nutty like this.
Do you think, and by the way, we work for the same company as Don Imus, do you think that they only suspended him because they're trying to appease black people who are offended? They didn't do it because they thought there was anything wrong with it, or they would have suspended him last week after he said it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not suspending him till next Monday.
Yeah.
I have a couple of weeks, but then after that, you're out, man.
I am so pissed a week from tomorrow.
I got to tell you.
Fully. Advantage of the hype. The way they look, they're like, look, the hype will be gone in 4 days and then we'll have made the money off.
When's the last time we talked about Don Imus?
Yeah, well, true.
Yeah, who even remembered the guy was alive and on the radio? Now, have you ever run into, and forgive me if I should know this, but have you ever run into seriously getting people pissed off by words that you used or something that you said in the course of your career where you've had to do some explaining?
Not like that, no. You know, I've never said anything that stupid.
That was pretty stupid, yeah.
It's pretty stupid.
Joe has a new CD out.
Funny,
it's called The Shiny Happy Jihad, and he recorded it in San Francisco and stood in front of that crowd and told them how gay people were really funny.
I did, because I'm not a hateful person. I'm like, you know, look, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being gay. Like, I freely admit, everyone's got their own weird genetic things. I'm short, my hair's falling out, and, you know, we're all goofy looking one way or another. You know, some people just get gay. That's it. That's what you get. Come on, seven. Someone's Chinese. You got red hair. What do you got? You know? I got big feet. Yay! You know, it's like that's what you get. Some people are gay. But you can't tell me it's not funny that guys want to have sex with other guys in their poop hole. It is funny. It's funny.
I don't think we need that kind of detail.
I know. Really. I probably should beep that out.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you. But it's not, you know, like, look, Brokeback Mountain was really funny. And that was my point.
The funniest movie ever.
Borat, I think, was the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that was good.
But Brokeback was pretty strong. Like, watching guys kiss is hilarious.
Yeah, especially straight guys. Guys that they advertise are straight.
Yeah, and they paid them to pretend that they're gay.
We have a scene from Brokeback Mountain if you want to hear it.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a species spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
You're right. If you can't find that movie funny.
No, that was, you don't remember that clip in the film?
Huh? No, I don't remember that part.
Don't remember that. All right.
We have to take a break. The CD is out today, by the way, Shiny Happy Jihad. And Joe Rogan is in town for some more stand-up on May 11th and 12th at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, which is coming up in a couple weeks. But we got a lot of stuff. A lot has happened with you, Joe. You've made some headlines since the last time we had you on the Kevin and Bean Show. So I think, you know, we need to revisit that.
Oh, my word.
And find out what's up right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. And our pal Joe Rogan back in the studio. New CD called Shiny Happy Jihad in stores now. Available for download too, Joe. Can you get this on the iTunes as well?
Yeah, you can get it
everywhere.
I imagine
you can. Yeah.
And if you want to steal it, go ahead. I've stole stuff before. Just download it
for free.
I don't care. Comedy Central's not going to want to hear me say that, but, you know, what am I going to do?
Okay? Yeah.
If you like it, buy it.
A tough business to get into, making a comedy disc these days. They're tough to sell, aren't they?
I don't know. I haven't sold one since 2000, and that one didn't sell so good. So
we'll see how it goes, right?
We're going to go with no then.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm in this weird position where, you know, I would say maybe
30% of the people who know me know I'm a comedian. So it's,
that's it. Only 30%. Probably. You said that at the beginning of the CD. I heard. I was listening to
it.
And you said most people know you from Fear Factor, but they don't have any idea you're a comedian.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything out. So this is why I have to put
this is it.
Out. The CD, and I also have a Showtime special on April 19th. And there's a DVD that, you know, from the same special that's available on Netflix, and it'll be
fantastic.
Available in stores. So.
Now, hopefully. Joe, good luck with both of those. Yeah,
Thank you. You're
probably sick of hearing people talk about the Comedy Store, I would imagine. It was one of those things that exploded up so big, and I know you've covered it exhaustively on your own website. But do you mind if we revisit it for a moment?
Sure. For okay. you? For you guys? Go ahead.
We tried to get a hold of you at the time, but you were apparently smoking out or something.
Well, you know what it was? It was enough. I mean, I didn't want to make it like a big focal point in my life. For me, it was like a situation where something came up, and I just wanted to say to what happened, like, just shut up. Here's what it is, dude.
Set the scene for people who don't know the deal.
Well, the comedy community has always had a problem with people stealing material. It's been huge for decades. It's always been a real problem, especially when more established comedians steal from lesser-known comedians.
Right.
Because, you know, they're really stealing. If you have a joke about, say, coffee, and some other comedian who's a famous guy steals that joke, and that might be your closing bit, and you're a guy who's like an opening act in a club, and this guy who steals it, and he's a closing act, he's a big-name comedian, he steals it, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you don't
it's
have
his
a
joke
bit
now.
Anymore. He did it on TV.
It's his,
done.
Yeah.
And this has been a huge, huge problem in the comedy community, especially with Carlos Mencia. And so we, for a long time, have been calling him Carlos Menstelia.
Right.
It's been his nickname for... Joey Diaz nicknamed him that about 7-8 years ago.
Well, this is a common thing, and it's not a surprise to anybody. You guys have known for a long time he steals stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? What's changed everything is the internet. The internet is turning the light on all the roaches. They all have to scatter now because now you can show clips back to back.
Right.
This has never happened before because of YouTube and Break.com and all these different places. It's completely different now. And I think that, I think it's a great thing for the comedy community. I think it's a great thing for comedians because I've noticed a lot of comedians, like young guys who open for people who have questionable ethics. These young guys who open for them also start stealing. And I'm hoping that people see what's going down, see how this is happening, and say, I don't want my career to be tainted like this. I don't want to be labeled a scumbag.
But how did it come to a head that night at the Comedy Store? What prompted the exchange between the two of you?
It was real simple. There was a guy who was going on stage after me. The way the Comedy Store works is like 10 consecutive comedians. And I went on, and there was a guy going on after me, and the guy works for Carlos. He opens up for him.
Right.
And so I said, I give them the guy's credits. I say he's a funny guy, and he goes on the road with Carlos Menstelia. You know, please give him up. So
you just threw it out.
Yeah.
Just
like
throw away.
So okay. Menstelia's in the audience, and he hears me, and he gets pissed, and he goes on stage. And I don't know whether he's swollen with ego and celebrity and stardom, and he just thinks he's just unstoppable.
Right.
But he got on stage, and he's like, you know, you don't have the balls to say that in front of my face. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be fabulous.
Don't ask the UFC's Joe Rogan if he has the balls, by the way.
It was hilarious. It was really, like surreal. I'm like, am I being punked? Like, this can't be real.
It's too easy, right?
Like, this is way too easy. And then as it gone on, as the argument went on, and he just got more and more beaten down by the truth and by me just pointing out all these evidence, you know, all these different instances of him stealing, it just got crazy. And at the end of it, it was really sad.
At first, it seemed like the crowd was with him.
Well, they didn't know what was going on because I didn't have a microphone.
Right. And then you got a microphone.
They couldn't even hear me.
And then they started turning. They started and then people were coming forward. And I think
then you got a microphone.
Yeah. By the end of it, they were booing him off stage. He got booed off stage. They were singing, na, 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 hey, hey, goodbye.
That's brutal. Yeah. Especially for an established comedian, right?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, a guy who's got albums out in the whole day. Now, you were filming.
He's not a comedian. He's not.
Well, he should steal better material then.
He's a minor bird. What he is a performer. If you see a lot of these guys in American Idol and they do really good singing someone else's song, you know what they are? They're performers, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. But what you're doing when you're a performer, only a performer, and you're stealing other people's jokes is very unethical. Now, if you listen to the guy talk, it's very obvious he's not a bright person.
Right.
He's not intelligent. He's not introspective. He's not the type of person that's going to be able to see the world through a different lens and give you some input.
some viewpoint on life that you wouldn't have seen otherwise, and you're going to laugh. I go, wow, I can't believe, oh, I never thought of it that way. He's not
He
that
sees
guy.
It through yeah. his Hispanic eyes.
In German?
As you point out, yeah, that his name was what?
Ned Holness.
That's his real name.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Ned.
Yeah. You know, I've said enough about him, and I think, seriously, like the internet, all the stuff on my website, like literally that speaks it all. It says enough. If you want to read about it, I've talked about it ad nauseum on JoeRogan.net, the whole situation. But the bottom line is that lying and stealing and all this stuff is the real issue here. Yeah. And that's what the real problem is.
All right,
the intellectual property is not thought of like concrete, tangible property.
And right. I agree with you. And I don't need to say anything more about the Mencia situation. But what I'm concerned about and what I want an update on is, are you really banned from the Comedy Store? Can you not work there anymore because of what happened that night?
Yeah. Well, it's really funny. The Comedy Store was started by Mitzi Shore, and Mitzi Shore helped me tremendously in my career, and I love her, and she will always have my respect. But
Shore's mom.
She's not running the Comedy Store anymore.
Okay.
I called her and told her about the situation. She gave me a spot that night, and then the management called me an hour later to tell me I was banned. So what that meant to me was that she's not running it anymore. They're running it behind her back, and she hasn't been in good health over the last few years, and it's been real sad. And, you know, it comes a point in time where it's not the Comedy Store anymore. Now it's just a club that they have a Comedy Store sign, and the people that are running it are, you know, one of her sons and, you know, some management people who are, you know, not the best people in the world. And they're just trying to make some money, and that's what they're doing. And they literally, they were upset with me because I put the video up, and they thought it made them look bad and somehow or another. But
the video of you on stage
the
with
video,
Carlos.
Yeah, but what's really hilarious is they stopped me from videotaping these little clips for my website.
Right.
And the reason why they stopped me is because they're saying that I'm doing a show. And if I'm doing a show at the Comedy Store, they wanted to be compensated for this, which would seem like fair. Until you look at the history of me and the Comedy Store, where I worked there for free for 13 years.
Right.
Anytime anybody drove by the Comedy Store and they see Fear Factor's Joe Rogan on the marquee, you say, well, Joe's getting paid for that. No, never got paid. Ever.
Why did you
ever.
Do that, Joe?
Because I wanted to support the Comedy Store because they helped me. I was making all my money from television. I was making all my money from news radio and from Fear Factor, and I didn't need it. And for me, I needed a place to work out, and the Comedy Store has always been struggling.
Right.
You know, they've had a hard time. You know, it's expensive to have a place there. And, you know, they have high overhead, and, you know, I wanted to help. And I didn't need the money. And so when their sound system was broken and they couldn't afford to pay for it, I bought a new sound system out of my own money. I paid for everything. They're using it right now. There's a CD burner, the speakers, the whole system. I paid for all of that. And I've also done trips for them. I've gone down to La Jolla and done the La Jolla Comedy Store, which is down near San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that twice. Filled the place, did press, everything, packed it.
For free.
Never got paid a penny.
Wow. Yeah.
And I did it because I wanted to support the store. I did it out of respect to Mitzi.
They don't want your support anymore, man.
It's not them.
You're out.
It's not her anymore.
Oh.
And that's what it is. So, you know, I'm fine, and I just move on, you know. And now I perform mostly at the Improv, and I love the Comedy Magic Club. That's my new favorite place.
Hermosa Beach,
it's a good place. Oh, man, that guy Mike Lacey runs it. Is like a polar opposite of the people that are running the Comedy Store. He's a huge fan of comedy. He's a gentleman. He's got a great club. He's got awesome people working there. He's got a back room, like a back green room where the comics hang out. This is indicative of how cool this guy is. There's writing on the wall from all comedians. None of it is negative.
Really?
Which is insane.
From comedians.
I was looking around. I'm like, I've got to find something. This is impossible. You know, it's like I'm looking at hieroglyphs. Like, there's no way this could be real. I'm looking at comedians like someone saying, you suck, write some new material.
Right.
There's none of it. None of it there.
Wow.
Which is just shows you how cool that guy is.
The CD is a Shiny Happy Jihad. We're going to take another quick break. Can you stick around for one more?
Dude, I'll stick around forever.
Come back with Joe's thoughts on Osama bin Laden, the 72 Virgins.
Sort
there's a
of
lot
my
of
thoughts just in condensed and joke form.
There's a lot of good stuff on there now.
2006, we got bad guys that are right out of a fucking comic book. I was watching a CNN special on Osama bin Laden. I'm like, that guy is right out of a comic book. He's a billionaire genius who hates us. He lives underground. He used to work for the good guys and got all their secrets, but then he switched over to the dark side. And they always almost capture him, but he mysteriously gets away and leaves behind a threatening tape. What is this, a fucking Stan Lee production? I read this story where they said they were really close to locating Osama bin Laden because they were monitoring his cell phone signal. But as if he knew they were monitoring him, right before they could pinpoint his location, he hung up the phone.
You know, you hear shit like that, you're supposed to go, dude, we almost got him, man. You hear about that shit today? Dude, we're that close. They're the best. They're going to get him. He can't hide. He can't hide. That's not what I thought. All I thought was, who the f*** is his provider? This dude gets a signal in Afghanistan. My shit cuts out of the fucking Cheesecake Factory. This dude's making calls from a cave. Dude, who's he with, all right? Sprint. I'm tired of their lies. That guy should do commercials. In this to America. Can you hear me now? Yes, you can, because even under 500 foot of rock, Allah has blessed me with 5 bars.
That is Joe Rogan from the new CD out today called Shiny Happy Jihad. Very funny stuff on there, Joe.
Thanks,
all right,
man.
Listen.
It's a lot cuter
never...
with all the beeps.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it is, yeah.
A lot of beeping. Beeps are cute.
It's funny. We have Ian like every month. Yet so much happens in your life that we are dying to get caught up on. Let's go to Kerouac Lister Brian real quick because he has a question that several people are also emailing wanting to ask about. Hey, Brian, you're on with Joe Rogan. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
What's up, dude?
Hey, UFC 69, you made a comment about drinking pee.
Urine therapy, yes.
Is that how you stay healthy?
Well, no, but I have done it before, though. I've done it 3 times, yeah. Well, I have a friend who is, he considers himself a shaman, and he's one of those guys that's, like, heavily into, like, psychedelic mushrooms, and he does it, like, religiously. And
right.
One of the things about psychedelic mushrooms is they retake the psilocybin by drinking their own urine, and they go through a trip, they urinate and into a glass, and then they drink the urine,
and then they trip again.
Supposedly takes the trip to another level because the psilocybin comes through your urine. And Hindu mystics they drink their urine; it's part of their daily ritual. Their
so you
first
tried it
urine.
Not once, not
three
twice,
times, yeah.
but 3 times.
Well, I tried it when I was sick because it's supposed to make it doesn't taste like salt water. It doesn't taste like anything.
Well, I
and
know, but
and it's sterile supposedly. But what do I know, man, doctor? But I know it sounds gross, but it really,
no.
you know.
But isn't
make you
it stuff? Isn't it stuff that your body is supposed
better.
To be getting rid of? Though
you know
right?
what? That's what I thought too. But apparently, there's a lot of research. You go online and research it. There's a go research pee.
I can't get past drinking pee. That's, to me, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, I thought so too, but
Giant's
I tried it.
Eyes, by the way, are lighting up.
Now wait a minute. You did it 3 times. Do you think it worked? You'll try
yeah,
it
I think maybe it does a little something, but it could be a placebo effect. I'm not sure. But I did feel better. Supposedly, it contains all sorts of antibodies that your body produces that pass through your system. And it's not necessarily waste by some weird reason.
Brian, after UFC 69, did you go home and try it?
Oh, no way.
Luke Kumo, one of the guys who fought on the card, the reason why he brought this up, is a big proponent of it. And Luke and I were talking about it at the weigh-in, and everybody else is shaking their head at us. And I was like, I've done it. I've done it.
Wow. Brian, thank you for the call. Joe, of course, in addition to the comedy, is the host on Spike of that Inside the UFC. And while we're bringing up UFC 69, one of the greatest sports upsets in history?
Probably,
last week?
Matt Serra, one of the nicest guys in the world, couldn't be happier for him. He beat George St. Pierre. He was at least, I would say, a 15-20-1 underdog.
Wow.
You know, if you had a guess. Like, I don't know what the odds books had him at, because they don't like to make anybody that high in their underdog, because anything can happen.
Yeah,
you
lose a lot of money.
Like, that Mike Tyson, you know, Buster Douglas, 42-1. I mean, people actually had to pay out 42-1.
Yeah.
You know, so anything can. And the UFC, you can't have odds that high because there's so many variables in Ultimate Fighting that anything can happen. When you put in kicks and punches and knees and takedowns and submissions, there's so many different things going on. There's so much room for error that.
So those
were
crazy odds, and he was never should have.
Not only that, he won by knockout, which the odds would have been probably like 50-1.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was pretty crazy. He just destroyed him.
What was wrong with St. Pierre that night?
Nothing was wrong with him. Matt Serra punches really, really hard. And Matt Serra had hurt Caro Parisian really bad once with one punch before. And I remember thinking, man, I've never even seen Caro hurt before. And to see Caro get hurt just decked with one punch like that, that guy is a little bull. And his whole career, he's been primarily a jiu-jitsu fighter because he was a jiu-jitsu world champion and Pan Am gold medalist. And I think he's been working on his striking all this time. He's just got natural power. It's just finally his skills as a striker have caught up with his physical power.
And not everyone knew it.
it before that fight.
Right.
Now
everybody knows, man. This is the reign of Matt Serra, and I think he's going to be ultra confident now. I think a lot of people are in a lot of trouble because you take that guy to the ground, he strangles you, and stand up with him. Now we find out he knocks people unconscious.
Yeah,
I mean, George St. Pierre has fought a lot of guys. He's never even been hurt, and to see him just get smashed like that is just crazy.
That is crazy. That's one of those things you see, you never forget.
Yeah.
I remember.
You know what's really crazy? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but us talking about
yours is better.
UFC.
Yes.
That's what's crazy.
I know.
The fact that it's so popular that we're talking about it on the Kevin and Bean show.
It seemed to happen overnight.
Because
it
just really a few years ago, if I came on and I started talking to you guys about MMA, you'd be like, what? Who's Matt?
Yeah.
Sarah?
No, that's true. Right? But once California okayed it, it made all the difference in the world. It just exploded. It went to Staples. It was down in Orange County. It's huge.
The real thing was on who runs the IFC a couple weeks ago.
IFL.
Yeah, and that sounds fascinating. That sounds like that's on the same kind of trajectory that the IFC was on to get to where it is now.
Yeah, I think they're all going to. I mean, I think there's going to be a bunch of mixed martial arts organizations in the future. I think it's just going to slowly expand. I mean, it's the most exciting sport you could ever watch. And the happy thing for me is that all these young guys that make a career doing one martial art, wrestling or something like that, now finally they have a professional athletic outlet.
Right,
you know,
that's a good, they have to learn a few more things. But.
Yeah, but that's a huge base.
Because before, once
wrestling.
You got out of college, that was it. You were done. There was nowhere to go.
Yeah,
right?
And you know, it's really unfortunate because these guys are like, you know, they dedicate their whole life to it. And unlike guys who dedicate their life to basketball, then they can retire and have millions and live in a nice house and be comfortable. These poor wrestler guys, they would be broke their whole life. You know, and now they're not. You know.
That's cool.
That's nice.
The new CD is Shiny Happy Jihad. I did want to ask if you get, it seems like we get groups that are organized against, no matter what, it doesn't matter what we say, whatever.
People are pro-jihad?
Yeah, whatever. No, I mean, no, but do you get, like, Muslim groups that are angry at you? You talk about the 72 versions,
Well, no, because, I mean, Muslim groups should actually be happy about that, because I point out that it's not in the Quran. And that, you know, suicide bombing is not a part of their religion. You know, this
show does a very funny bit. Like, what page is that on? Someone's going to ask, and then because it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it's well. Apparently, the whole the expression 72 virgins is not referring to 72. It's like saying, "Oh my God, I've been there a million times." You know, like you haven't really been there a million times. It's like their version of a million.
Oh,
times.
I see. It's just an expression.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, there's a lot of those old expressions that have been kind of like twisted up. Like one of the translations that I've read that they figured out recently about, you know, the whole idea that Jesus walked on water, that was like the old expression for walking by water. That's how they would say it.
That's
he walked
it?
On water. Like walking by water is walking on water.
Much less impressive.
As impressive, yeah.
Much less.
Well, it's not only that.
But it makes more sense.
The whole idea of translating when you got an ancient language that to this day, I mean, ancient Hebrew, to this day, they only know 3 out of 4 words in it. You know, and the words also double as numbers, like the letters double as numbers. Like there's no numbers in ancient Hebrew. So the letter A is also the number 1. So there's no numerical value in words that's lost in the translation.
I was talking about this last night. You don't have to tell me. I was lecturing a group at the university.
So Jesus could have been water skiing for all we know. We never know what he was
really
doing up there.
Might not even been water he was walking on. I mean, it's
pretty
ambiguous.
Could have just been on a sidewalk for all we know. Might not have been impressive at all.
Might have been on a skateboard.
Get the CD, buy it or download it, and don't miss Joe Rogan live and on stage. That's where you want to see him, at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, Friday, May 11th and Saturday, May 12th. You can go to comedyandmagicclub.com for all the information on that. And Joe, always great to see you. Always great to catch up.
Always great to be on. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Creator gone wild. Girls gone wild. Creator, rather. Joe Francis arrested at an airport in Panama City this morning. This is according to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. Apparently, he claims he was on his way to voluntarily turn himself in to marshals.
Right.
When he was recognized by the airport police and arrested there before he ever reached that marshal's office. He had been ordered to turn himself in for changing the terms of a settlement that he had agreed to 7 different women who had accused him from a 2003 lawsuit of filming them in sexual situations while they were on spring break in Panama City. Oh, sure, they were underage, but still.
Oh, no.
He wasn't living up to his end of the bargain, so the judge said, okay, you need to come in, Mr. Francis. We need to talk about this. And he said, this is a case of a judge gone wild. I'm not doing that.
He actually said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said first, initially, he wasn't going to turn himself in. And then he said, okay, I will turn myself in. Finally, the cop said, you know, we're not going to wait for you. You're just going to come with us now.
But he was on his way, Ralph.
So busted this morning.
Hey, Ralph, speaking of TMZ.com, we mentioned yesterday that today we would have information on the Anna Nicole Smith's daughter paternity, but that has been postponed. Is that what's going on with that?
I don't know. Do you have any information
on
that?
I think 11:30 this morning is when Harvey said that they were going to come out with the
information. Yeah, I know it's
11:30 our time. Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, I wonder who it's going to be.
I think it's going to be JonBenet Ramsey's dad.
Nice.
That would be the best perfect world. Just guessing, trying to bring it all together. Okay. Just trying to tie it all in. Scarlett Johansson has a new boyfriend, if you believe PerezHilton.com.
I'd rather not.
According to the gossip website, it is none other than Ryan Reynolds. That seems inappropriate. Britney Spears has a new man crush as well. The London Sun tabloid newspaper says that she's got a huge crush and has been attending Laker games in order to be close to Luke Walton.
What?
Same with our sister producer, Alex.
That's
same thing.
What I'm telling you, Luke Walton.
Wow.
Britney's got her eye on him.
Wow.
I think that explains their poor performance in the past few weeks.
He's sidetracked. Yeah, now you got to fight Britney, bitch. How about that?
Oh, at least you have hair. You got one up on her. Luke Walton.
A white man shouldn't play sports in the first place.
That's true.
Absolutely true. Speaking of Anna Nicole Smith, yet another man comes forward claiming to have had a sexual relationship with the former playmate. Las Vegas magician Steve Wurick tells Star Magazine that the two had a kinky affair in 2005.
Wait a minute. He's a magician?
He's a musician that performs in Vegas.
Musician or magician?
Magician.
Okay, then no.
Puff. Here's a dove, that kind of guy.
No.
Look, my hands are tied. Now I'm loose. That kind of act is what he does.
You know, several of these guys that now say they had, sex with Anna Nicole Smith many times, these aren't people from 10 years ago. These are people who have done it in the last couple of years while she was still allegedly in this committed relationship with Howard K. Stern.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's clearly, in my opinion, total BS.
Steve Wurick tells Star Magazine the two had a kinky affair in 2005. Steve says they had sex 5 times, and Anna often wanted him to hit her and choke her.
Oh, yeah! No. Right!
Stop it, Psycho Mike.
What?
You just screamed, yeah, all right, for hitting and choking.
She's a hefty girl. Be a good workout.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
And Jason Waller, sometimes referred to in the news as actor Jason Waller. I don't know what he's done to earn that media tag, but he's trying to break the record, I think, for most arrests by a pseudo-celebrity in a year. He was popped once again over the weekend, this time in Seattle. It's his fourth arrest since last August. It all happened at Seattle's Marriott Hotel. A security guard called cops and said Jason was causing a disturbance in the lobby. The disturbance? He'd punched out the security guard.
Okay.
I think the security guard showed remarkable restraint, because I would have called and said, yeah, we've got a dead body here in the lobby of the Marriott. Dude, I don't know what happened to him. I think it's that guy from Laguna Beach, but he's stopped breathing when I put a pillow over his head.
See, this is the more interesting reality show. MTV should have had their cameras on this guy this last few months.
Cops arrived. They found Jason passed out on the third floor of the hotel, reeking of alcohol. They woke him up and tried to remove him from the hotel. That's when he started fighting with cops, calling them the N-word and the F-word in regards to homosexuals.
So. Oh, great.
He's a charming young chap. And we wish him the very best in his 4 arrests in 4 different states, by the way. He's working his way through the city.
And remember, his arrest.
He's a delight.
Yes, he is.
His arrest in New York was also for fighting with cops. If you remember, he couldn't get into a party while you guys were out there for the VMAs.
That's right.
And the New York City police came to calm him down, and he punched one of them.
And he also took on a guy who was working on a tow truck, a tow truck driver. He and a friend roughed up one of those guys, too, so.
Good guy. Stuff. Nice man.
And here's something to look forward to. This is going to be good. This is going to be fun. Bill Maher.
Yes.
So I don't know if you watched that show over there on HBO, the Real Time with
I watch it religiously, and it's very funny.
It's remarkably funny and remarkably educational and entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot going on over there. It's
very
really,
funny.
Really well done television. Bill has decided to take on a documentary in which he will write and produce about the most sensitive subject in the world. New York Post has announced he's putting together a documentary attacking everyone and anyone's religion. All religions will be attacked in this documentary.
He's been very vocal.
It's going to be fun.
He's been very vocal about he does not discriminate. Every religion is stupid.
He's all bogus. Yeah, yep. People across the board. Cindy Adams, the columnist for the New York Post, said that this flick promises to make Michael Moore look moderate. And it is produced by the same people who did Borat, so they have no thing or two about pissing people off. So this is going to be really fun to watch people's heads just explode left and right.
Yeah.
They really will. And it's funny because the thing about religion, folks, is that it's based on faith. You believe what you choose to believe. It's not based on facts. So it's kind of hard. And I understand where Bill Maher is coming from when he says this. You can't make fun of Mormonism, for instance, because it's not your religion, or Buddhism because it's not your religion, or Hinduism or whatever, because it's just as crazy as whatever it is you believe. You just have chosen, hey, I have faith in that, and that's what I'm going to go for.
They all have their nutty aspects.
And all of the nutty aspects, all of the different groups have their spokespeople. They're going to be very upset about this.
Well, here's the beauty of it. This is a great country because obviously you are free to practice any religious belief that you care to. But I take exception with the people who believe that you can't ever criticize any religion because it's just religion. Because of the nature of it, you just can never say anything bad about it. If Bill Maher wants to attack religion, I think it's as fair game as any other subject in the world. It's just, you know, feel free to defend it with your own documentary. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Madden, NFL commentator. He, of course, is on Monday Night Football. Does a hell of a job over there. He was on Monday Night Football. Now he's on Sunday Night Football with NBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hell of a job. He really gives you some insight into the game that you really couldn't get from somebody who wasn't there on the sidelines himself as a coach for many years.
Like they're like an old bologna sandwich or something. You know, you let it sit around there, you get hungry enough, and pretty soon you eat it.
See?
Who else could do that?
Nobody.
That's a good point.
He's been inside the game. He knows about bologna sandwiches. F you.
I love him.
You know, they changed the lineup for Monday Night Football. Speaking of Monday night.
What do you mean?
Theismann's out.
Oh, is
he? About
that's
that
right.
Theismann's out. Ron Jaworski, former quarterback.
Philadelphia Eagle.
Or as Bean would say, Philadelphia Eagle.
I don't know anything about him.
He was our quarterback in the one Super Bowl that we, well, the first Super Bowl, 1980, that we participated in.
Okay.
Yeah. By we, I mean the Philadelphia Eagles.
Of course. Yeah.
But what was shocking about that announcement, Ralph, and I think it happened when you were on vacation, is that Tony Kornheiser is still on the broadcast. That's what people were amazed at.
Yes, I know.
And he's got corn in his last name.
Steve.
And that's all good.
Steven Seagal.
Understand that at all.
He's 56 years old today. Peter McNichol is 53 years old today. Brian Setzer from the Brian Setzer Orchestra, as well as the Stray Cast, turns 48. Haley Joel Osment from Sixth Sense is 19. And Mandy Moore is 23 years old today. That's a good day. Mandy Moore is born.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All I'm saying is there's an awful lot of protesting coming out of Lisa's mouth. It's not like we're asking her to do calculus in her head. We're talking about freaking fifth grade questions here, Lisa.
I don't know about it. I didn't know it. I want multiple choice.
If I'm judging it by how I did yesterday with Kevin, then this is not good for me. This is going to be humiliating. I'll do it for you.
Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And it's on TV. It's a runaway hit now. And I played yesterday and did quite well.
You swept. You got every
question
right.
Right.
You happened to ask the eight that I remembered, and that's good news for me.
Well, we've learned. You stopped learning things in the fifth grade. Your mind stopped developing at age 10 or whatever you are.
And by the way, Lisa, you're hot. It doesn't matter. People are still going to like you even if you're dumb. All right. So don't even worry about it. It's not like there's a downside for you.
Well,
okay?
That's true. I have just ridden through my life on my fabulous looks.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, comedian Jeff Foxworthy is here. It's time to play Is Lisa May Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Lisa. 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 Lisa.
You know who does that?
DJ Omar Khan.
Well, that didn't get annoying. Let's welcome Jeff to the room. Hey, Jeff, ready to play another game today?
If you're not smarter than a fifth grader,
yeah,
you may not be smarter than a fifth grader.
All right.
That's true. That's hard to argue.
And that is the kind of comedy that Jeff Foxworthy is famous for, by the way. Listen, we got a fantastic prize for you today. If you get on the air and you, we'll explain the game in a moment, but we'll have contestants who will qualify for a prize we'll do a drawing for at the end of 2 tickets to go see Morrissey. That show is coming up June 8th at the Hollywood Bowl. As you know, all Morrissey shows sell out. So this is a terrific ticket for you to win. Jeff, how's the game played today?
What I'll do is I'll ask Lisa May a question that is based on 4th and 5th grade school studies.
Okay.
We'll ask our listener whether they think Lisa will know the answer to the question or not.
Okay.
If they're correct, they get into the drawing for the tickets to go see Morrissey.
Okay, so all we need from
if you wear black and are depressed all the time, you might be a Morrissey.
Exactly. All we need from the listener is a yes or no based on whether they think Lisa's going to know the answer or not.
Okay.
We have Stephanie in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Stephanie.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Stephanie.
Stephanie, I'm going to ask Lisa a question.
Okay.
Lisa, what U.S. state comes last alphabetically? Do you think she's going to get that or not?
I think she'll get it.
You think she will know that? Okay. Lisa, what U.S. state comes last alphabetically?
I think Wyoming.
Wyoming's correct.
Nice.
Lisa May.
She's one for one.
Nicely done, Stephanie.
Stephanie, you're in the drawing.
Hold on. Let's move on to Becky in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Becky.
Here's from fifth grade geometry, Lisa.
Ooh.
A polygon has a minimum of how many sides? Now, do you think Lisa May will know the answer to that or not?
No.
She will not know. Lisa, a polygon has a minimum of how many sides?
Three.
Three's correct.
Boom!
Wow. You should have seen the look in Lisa's eyes of, oh, my God, that was a stab in the dark. Becky, I'm sorry. You said she wouldn't know it.
Thanks,
thank you for calling.
Hey, Jeff, not to put you on the spot, I have no idea what a polygon is. What is it?
Polygon is a shape that has three or more sides.
There you go.
I was thinking it means many
like
sides.
Like a triangle or a square.
I see. So any of those shapes. Okay,
gotta have at least three sides to make a shape.
Right.
Is this Gus in Glendora?
Yes, it is.
All right, Gus.
Here's U.S. geography, fifth grade. Lisa, of the 5 U.S. Great Lakes, which is the largest in area? Do you think she'll get this or not?
I have faith in her. She will.
She will get this. Right. Lisa, of the 5 U.S. Great Lakes, which is the largest in area?
I'm going to say Lake Superior.
That's correct.
Look at that.
Boom!
Damn.
Nicely done, Gus.
3 for 3.
It is true, though, that Superior never gives up her dad when the winds of November come calling.
Shut
right,
up.
Jeff? I mean, that's what I've heard.
Shut up. Let's go to Doris.
Doris.
Hello, Doris. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hey, Doris. Lisa May was doing a lot of squawking before this game, but clearly she got the answer sheet because she's 4 for 4 so far today.
Okay.
All right. You ready, Doris?
I am ready.
Lisa, a saxophone is what kind of musical instrument? Doris, you think Lisa will know this or not?
Yes, she will know it.
She will know. Lisa, a saxophone is what kind of musical instrument?
Gay is not an acceptable answer.
I think it's a wind instrument.
Ooh, can we have a more complete answer, please?
Oh, hey.
Type of material.
Hey, be quiet, Doris.
Yeah?
You're not allowed.
Oh, sorry.
The more complete than a wind
instrument. Only a partial answer you gave us.
Because I know it has
to expand on that just a touch.
Time limit.
An orchestral instrument?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're going for.
It's a woodwind. It's known as a woodwind instrument. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Doris.
Okay. Oh, darn it.
I was awfully close.
It was awfully close.
You were, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's go to Mark in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
All right, Lisa, here's your question from fourth grade weights and measurements. How many ounces of water are there in 3 pints of water?
Can I get a clarification on water?
How many ounces of water are there in 3 pints of water? Do you think she's going to know this or not?
I think she'll get it.
All right, Mark says yes.
How many ounces of water, Lisa, are there in 3 pints of water?
48.
48
she's
is correct.
Look at that.
She's incredible.
Yeah. All right.
Mark, well done.
I love you, Lisa.
All right, so a lot of people qualifying for these Morrissey tickets. Do we have time for another?
Well, we have 3 people who've qualified. Lisa's got more right, but they didn't get them right. So we only have 3 who've actually guessed right. Edgar in Bell. Good morning.
Mark.
Dude.
Edgar.
Are you there? Can
come
you hear us?
Come back to us.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Okay, here's Lisa's question. U.S. government, fifth grade level. In the Constitution, how many years must you have lived in the United States to become president?
Edgar? Will she know it?
Will she know it?
She will know it. All right.
In the Constitution, how many years must you have lived in the United States to become president?
Your whole life. You have to be born here.
No, we need a number in years. You have to be a naturalized citizen, absolutely. You also have to be over 35 years of age. But if you were like born in the U.S., then moved to another country, and then came back, you have to have lived in the United States for a certain number of years.
No idea.
There's three criteria to be president.
I'll say 12 years.
That's incorrect. 14 years you need to live in the U.S.
Didn't know that.
Sorry, Edgar.
Sorry, Edgar.
You are not smarter than a fifth grader.
Oh, well.
But it's good for fifth graders to know as they're planning out their life, though. They want to make sure they tick off all the criteria.
Live around the country for 14 years before you run for president.
Okay.
All right. All right, shall we do a drawing and find out who's going to go see Morrissey? Again, that show is June 8th at the Hollywood Bowl. We got Stephanie, we got Gus, we got Mark. They're all qualified. Who's the winner?
Stephanie. Congratulations.
Squeaky.
I think I can barely hear. Are you there?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
That was weird.
If you get excited and have joy in your voice, there's every possibility you're not a Morrissey fan.
Your phone calls are up now, 1-800-520-1067. As usual, just for getting on the air, you get a prize.
And we're going to give you a pair of tickets to the 33rd Annual Toyota Grand Prix. It's happening this Saturday. For tickets, go to longbeachgp.com. By the way, I just got a text message from a KROQ listener, Josh, who's texting me from jury duty. He's in the jury duty room right now.
Fantastic.
Sitting next to a midget.
Oh, my God. It's your dream come true.
At least he's got something to keep him occupied while he's waiting for his name to be called. So way to go there, Josh. All right. Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew. Our first call this morning is going to be Dave in Glendale. Hey, Dave, what to do?
Yeah, good morning, you guys. You know, you guys have some great stuff on there. You had the girl last week. I tried desperately to call through and get the girl who gets off on giving guys pleasure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if she was, you know, every now and then you have great, but today you cross the line, and you did this about a year ago. How would you like to be a family member of someone who's a celebrity or not, who has as this healthcare worker put it, a malignancy in her tumor or whatever in her lung?
Oh, you're talking about the death pool.
Yeah, man, it's not cool. It's very, very inconsiderate. Lisa, Kevin Bean, you guys cross the line, ain't cool.
For the death pool?
Dave, the death pool guy, though, said that he doesn't take pleasure, doesn't want people to die, but they're going to die anyway, so why not try to look for the lighter side?
He doesn't have a website, so he's not going to get 8 million hits, but you guys are promoting his thing, and like a year ago, you guys were making jokes about someone who died. That is so not cool, you guys. You got to admit, you're crossing the line.
I don't think we are.
Well, if Lisa doesn't think we are, Dave.
Millions of people die every year, every day. It's just a fact of life.
There's some ego here?
Come on, you guys.
Did someone in your family die recently? That's usually why people get upset.
Actually, it didn't. I used to work in the funeral business, but that's a separate topic. But check it out.
No, but the reason Lisa brings that up is because everybody seems to have a sensitivity, and when we cross a line for that person, they think that we're crossing the line for everybody, and it just happens to be something that they're close to, and it kind of sucks, and that's the way it goes.
If you had a relative who was not doing well, or let's say you're driving home from a funeral, and you turn on the radio and you hear this,
hey Dave,
how do you think it would feel?
Hey, Dave. If our goal on the show is to not offend anybody, we would have quit when we first started. It's just not possible, dude.
Well, there's some topics you should just leave alone. And this is one of them, man.
But I think what the problem is, as Kevin is pointing out, is that that topic is different for everybody else. Like, Dave, you may laugh when we make fun of, Dick Clark, who had a stroke, but there are other people out there who have a stroke victim in their family, so that's not funny to them. You may laugh when we talk to Rudy and make Mexican jokes. That may be funny to you, but there could be other people out there who are offended because that's not funny to them. By the time you carve out everything that's not funny to somebody, you got nothing left.
Well, I agree with that. I'm not saying rule out everything.
That's all we're saying.
Oh, so you're not saying rule out everything, just what's offensive to you.
No.
All right, Dave.
All right, Dave.
I don't have a death in the family. No, you guys have ego involved here. Admit it.
Listen,
I don't understand that either. I just think, what do you mean by ego? We just don't want to admit we're wrong?
Kevin and Bean and Lisa, the biggest show in L.A., da-da-da, we're going to talk about whatever we want. Look it up.
No, that's not the case at all. We thought it was an interesting topic.
You're not Dice Clay. You can't just cross the line on everything.
This is so not the line. Death pools have been around forever. It's not a big deal.
You know what, Lisa?
I'm going to tell you something. Beans had a family member pass away a couple of years ago. And
she was in my death pool, by the way.
A week later.
I had her in my death pool, his mom.
Hey, Lisa, I scored big. Dave, we gave you plenty of time. I appreciate your opinion. Thank you very much for calling. Hang on for your prize, but we do have to move on to some other calls. I know that, you know, different stuff hits different people different ways, and I respect Dave's opinion. I'm glad he called on that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to...
that's true. I'm serious.
I'm just kidding. Josh in Glendale. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Melissa May, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, first of all, before I get to my subject, Dave's a sissy, okay? He needs to stop. Seriously. Okay.
Dave, the king of Mexico?
No.
The last guy.
Right now,
Last guy that called. Okay.
Guy, he sounded like Al Gore in South Park. You guys, I'm super serial, okay? It's not funny, you guys. I'm super serial, okay? I was waiting for him to start talking about man bear pig. Jesus Christ.
All right, Josh.
I love Josh.
Let's move on. What else you got?
Okay. I'm calling because this Sunday is the premiere of the greatest show on earth.
Yes, it is.
Charm School.
Flavor of Love, all the girls of Flavor of Love in a show called Charm School, hosted by Monique.
That show is going to be awesome. VH1 is turning into the Jerry Springer of reality shows.
Yes, they've been that way for quite some time, and I cannot wait for this show. It looks awful.
This show is like looking inside a gas canister with an open-lit match. You know, it's just waiting for something bad to happen.
Yes, it is.
Now, Josh, you say that, but there could be fat chicks who'll be offended if you make fun of Monique. There could be black chicks that'll be offended if you make the fun of New York. You got to be very careful with this topic.
I know, you guys. I'm being super serial, okay? I don't want to offend anybody, but come on.
Thank you, Josh. All right, let's go to Eric in Buena Park. Good morning, Eric. What's going on?
Hey, guys. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Eric?
What it do, nephew?
I went to Phoenix with my girlfriend a couple weeks ago, and we went out to go see my family.
Right.
And she has a friend out there, so she went to go visit her friend. Her friend just so happens to be a guy, and she has a lot of guy friends,
right,
which I'm cool with that. And so I called her while she was over there, and I asked her, you know, hey, what time are you going to be home for dinner? And he thought that I was calling because, you know, I was checking up on her. And so he starts talking crap, you know, in the background. And so I was like, okay, whatever, this guy's just going to piss me off. So I, you know, hung up. And so anyways.
Is there a question anywhere on our site?
Yeah, sorry about that. All right.
That's right.
So yesterday he messaged her over MySpace and blatantly said, you know, your boyfriend is right, I want to do you. And she doesn't think that I should be upset about that. Now, what's your guys' opinion on that? Like, what would you do in that situation?
I think that she should handle it and tell him to F off. And then it's done.
I mean, if you're dating somebody who's hot, there are always going to be guys out there that want to do her. I mean,
right.
you can't throw a tantrum every time one of those guys comes up, but she should handle it.
Right, and she said that She basically wants to just blow it off, and as soon as he said that, I was like, what?
Yeah, I got news for you, Eric. She's already banged him.
That's another possibility.
I mean, come on. That's happened. That happened this week. That just happened.
Does that blow your mind?
Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Brian in Brea. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
Hey, I work outside sales, and I'm sitting in a parking lot, and there's a long line at the Del Taco drive-thru.
Right.
This guy goes to snake in front of a line, in front of everybody. He gets in a shouting match with the lady. Well, he ends up nosing in while she's yelling out the window. He goes to pull up to the drive-thru to make his order. She lays on her horn so he can't make his order.
So he can't be heard?
I love that.
No, he's trying to yell his order into the drive-thru.
Right.
Can't hear. So he gets out of his car, starts pounding on her window, yelling at her.
Dude.
He gets back in his car, goes to try and make his order again. What does she do?
That's awesome.
Can't get in the way between a woman and her taco.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, man.
That's fantastic.
That's a great story.
The drive-thru line is always a tense situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, they take like a half hour to order their freaking meal, but I've never had somebody actually cut in front.
That's kind of hard to do.
You know what I love, and I'm glad you called, Brian. Thank you for the call on that. What I love are the people who order their food, and then they pull around, and then they wait for their food, and then their food comes. And then it occurs to them, oh, I need to pay. And now they have to start looking for money. Now they pull out their wallet, they start getting their cash, and then they think they might have change for that amount, and they got to look for that. Like, it seems like you've got the time to be prepared for when your food is handed to you finally, right?
No, there's no heads up. You don't know you're going to have to pay any money.
Do we have time for one more? Can we do Greg and T.O.? Because this sounds like it potentially could be a funny story.
Oops, sorry, wrong line. Greg, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
What to do?
Good.
What happened?
All right. Basically, one night I go to the bar, and there's just this beautiful, beautiful girl, you know, drinking down a couple of ways. So, buy her a drink, start talking, blah, 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 blah. Go back to her house, which I thought was just her house.
Right.
Start getting into our thing, start, you know, getting to the mood. Then we start getting into it, and she gets loud for, you know, for whatever, and her mom comes in the room.
Her parents live there?
Her parents live there.
Awesome.
Her mom screams, and then her dad walks in the room.
Oh.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sitting there, and I don't know what to think. I'm thinking this guy's going to pull a shotgun, and I'm going to have to run out butt naked in the street. He makes me come back for 2 weeks to do their yard work.
What? Why did you do it?
I did. You know what? I'm a nice guy.
But
I didn't want to. You know, it was supposed to be
okay.
Like just a one night fling.
Were you still seeing her for those 2 weeks?
Every time I would come by, she would leave because she was so embarrassed.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait. And you came back the second day, let alone the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 2 weeks?
I came back every day for 2 weeks.
You're the biggest
Greg.
Pussy I've ever spoken to.
Bitch.
Are you still doing it for free? I mean, just go over there and just make it part of your week, dude.
Hey, I by the second week, I started charging $10 an hour.
Well, you showed him.
Hey, Greg, I'll let you bang my wife if you do yard work for 2 weeks at my house. It's a pretty good deal.
Thanks for the call. Wow.
That's fantastic.
Who could have seen that coming?
Here's an email from Ken on the death pool, by the way, for Ken. Listener Dave, who was upset. Dear Kevin, my family had a death pool on when my grandmother would die. Grandpa won $550 in the pool. We suspect foul play. So that's pretty funny right there.
Wow.
I want to thank our guest, Joe Rogan, for being on the show today. His new CD is in stores now and available for download starting today. Shiny Happy Jihad is what it's called. It's
down-hoed.
You sure did. Yep.
I did. Also, Joe is going to be appearing Friday, May 11th and Saturday, May 12th at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club. You can go to comedyandmagicclub.com for all the information on that. Funny guy.
Tomorrow morning, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ talking about Anna Nicole's DNA, finally, her baby's DNA test. Find out who's the father. I wonder who that could be.
Anna.
Also tomorrow we have we'll talk to Jesse Jackson. He's upset again. Hard to believe.
Yeah. Lloyd!
We have Jay Moore on the program tomorrow. Funny
Mohinder.
Man.
Mohinder.
Jay Moore.
Okay.
Talk about open relationships. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a girl that will let her guy who plays basketball. He gets to cheat once a year.
One, Captain.
One time a year.
Interesting.
Hey, Mike. And and we also have a girl who can orgasm just by thinking about it.
I'm Morley Safer.
That's who she thinks about.
I don't know what any of this,
no.
what any of this means. Come on. It's not that funny.
Cat is. Cat Corbin is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not the new one from Linkin Park? How about some brand new? We got Damian Jr. Gong Marley. We got Nirvana. We got Gorillaz. We got Incubus and more right after this on K-Rock.